The opinions expressed in this program are those of the guests and host and do not necessarily reflect the views of the Topeka Capital Journal, CJ Online, or Morris Communications.
Good morning, Topeka. This hour is brought to you by Coop the Plumber, 267-4100 for all of your plumbing and air conditioning needs. Yep, air conditioning season, folks. It is right around the corner. So again, if you fire up that central air and it just sounds funny, smells funny, whatever the case may be, well, you might need to have that little rascal summarized. You can give Coop the Plumber, Cooper Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning a call at 267-4100, and they can take care of you. They've been in business now for more than two decades. Hey, a little housekeeping. If you're looking for a jukebox, well, I can point you to one, and it is located at 5th and Harrison, the Downtown Antique and Collectibles Mall. Three floors of antiques and collectibles, garage sale items, they've got it all. And, folks, if you've got some items that are unwanted, just kind of laying around your garage, well, you can take those items down to the Downtown Antique and Collectibles Mall. They'll place those items in their store for you on consignment. All you have to do is wait for the mailman to come once a month to bring you a check for whatever items that sell. And that's exactly what happened. They've got a jukebox at the Downtown Antique and Collectibles Mall, 5th and Harrison. And, folks, I think they're asking $500 for it. It plays 150 45s, I believe. And me being a 45 RPM record collector, it excites me, but I've already got a jukebox. But, folks, if you're looking for one, probably won't find one any cheaper. And, again, 5th and Harrison, that's the location. They're open at 11 o'clock every day, Downtown Antique and Collectibles Mall. Coming in at 8:30, we've got Jay Perez. We're going to be talking about the Better Business Bureau of Topeka. At 9 o'clock, John Arnold and Denise Eck with TV 49 News. We're going to be talking about the top stories of the week. Dave Jackson's coming in at 10 o'clock, of course, lawn and garden tips. And by the way, housekeeping note, I'm going to be on Ralph Hips, WIBW TV 13's news this afternoon at 4 o'clock. I have no idea what we're going to be talking about, but Ralph called a couple of days ago, and it's going to be a lot of fun. Always good to see Ralph Hip. He's a good one. Speaking of people, it's good to see. Good morning, Rick Dean.
Speaking about having no idea what we're going to talk about,
that's you and I. Well,
yeah,
I didn't.
We'll find something like you and Ralph will.
Well, I didn't have a guest this morning.
I get a lot of that. I get a lot of that. I get a lot of last minute calls.
GM
Mark Tehan. Yeah, Mark Tehan stiffed us on a show, and can you come on at the last?
Sure.
I'm the designated replacement.
Well, that's kind of where I was at today. I said, I don't have a guest, not a whole lot to talk about. So I went downstairs, and there you were.
And what a former sports writer is doing in the office at 7:30 in the morning is, you know, that they're going to take my union card.
Well, who could be calling at this hour? We don't get calls. Let's go to the phones. Good morning.
Well, listeners call sometimes.
Well,
you never know.
Sometimes they do.
Hi, Jim. This is Dwight Calhoun.
Dwight, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm good. I want to make a suggestion to all your listeners.
Absolutely.
Since the paper chose to leave a category out, we could vote for you. I say we do a write-in candidate in the two categories that the Capital Journal put for their columnist and blogger to write in Jim Cate's name.
Well, you know, I think I'd get two votes. I know. You emailed me on this a couple of days ago.
I did.
In fact, my wife mentioned, where's the radio personality category? So that's two of you.
I'd vote for you. You want the gig? It's not going to pay anything.
Yeah.
I know it doesn't.
Well, see,
I've been there before.
Well, see, we'll just tell everyone, get that out, put your name in there, and that'll show them they need that column for you next year.
Well, that is a wonderful idea. Where do I send you the check, right?
Well, you know, the other thing, too, they kind of ticked me off a little bit. You know, that when I CC'd you on early in the week, I never did hear back from them. They ignored me, so.
Well, we've got Rick Dean. Rick, you were with the Cap Journal Sports Department for how many years?
34 yeah.
Covering the sports scene.
Yeah.
Okay. Rick's not covering the sports scene now. He's been moved over one department. But, Dwight, your concern was last week the Cap Journal didn't cover the Coyotes game.
It still has not published anything as to whether they won or lost. So that was my question last Tuesday. I could understand why they wouldn't have it Sunday, obviously on a road game, you know. But I would think by Monday they ought to be able to contact somebody and find out what's going on and put a little something in the paper Tuesday to tell everybody.
Rick, do you know what happened Saturday night?
I was working Saturday night, and the Coyotes were out of town. We have a standing arrangement with them that, you know, they call. They don't. They apparently can't find the telephone.
No.
And we probably, you know, I think they're playing. I think they got some cell phones on them, but, you know.
They never called.
They never called. Now, yeah, we probably should have called them back. But, you know, by the same token, if an organization that purports to be semi-professional cared at all, they can pick up a phone, too.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get tired of chasing them across the face of the earth.
Well, that's true.
They put out a schedule saying they're going to play a team. We follow the schedule, and then another team shows up.
Yeah.
Sometimes you get tired of the Mickey Mouse.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Well, there's always two sides to every story, that's for sure. Now,
like I said, yeah, we probably should have placed a call Sunday or Monday or Tuesday or today or whatever, but, I mean, it doesn't seem to matter to them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, that's a good point.
I really got a burr up my saddle about the Coyotes. I know you like them, but I was covering them back in the days when they were just starting out. And it wasn't the Coyotes. I mean, Middle Ark Lemons.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
George Lemon, good guy.
Yeah.
Good guy, all kinds of great plans and that type of thing. I'd write a profile about a player on Wednesday, and he'd be gone by Thursday.
Yeah.
I saw a time when they actually had to pull somebody out of the stands and put a suit on him to put eight guys on the other team.
Well, they had to do that for a kicker, too. Did they bring someone in as a kicker?
Well, I think the Chiefs probably did something like that a time or two.
I think he's referencing the fact that I still take a great deal of pride in this, Dwight Calhoun, that I'm the oldest person that ever signed a professional football contract and played in a professional football
Jim's
game.
Jim's not the guy I was thinking about.
Oh,
they pulled out of the stands. I was thinking something else. But
well, that was close.
I'd love to see that. I'd love to see them succeed. I'd love to see them make a success. But, I mean, the bottom line is, you know, if we covered them probably like we ought to, we'd be writing about bad debts. We'd be writing about lawsuits all over town.
Okay.
You'd get the whole shebang. So, you know, you got to ask, do you really want it? I think not.
Okay. Well, you've enlightened me.
Dwight, is there a category? Frankly, I haven't filled out the Best of Topeka ballot. I don't think as an employee I'm supposed to do it. My wife was filling hers out. Is there a category for the best insurance agent?
Well, yeah, there is.
Dwight Calhoun, Calhoun.
And,
folks, and, write
and
the
if,
name in.
And if you're going to do that, I'm going to make another suggestion.
Sure,
for the best jewelers, put down Calhoun's Jewelers.
What relation is that to you?
That's my two brothers.
Okay. Now, they're located where?
In the Fleming Place.
All right.
Fleming
okay.
Place by the coffee shop. Is it Lazio's there? Which one is the coffee
Not
shop?
Not Lazio's. Lazio's is the 22nd
okay,
Bell
so
and the Brookwood Shop.
Must be the PT one over there.
How many merchants, how many businesses did we just plug?
A bunch of them.
Yes, we did. Well, Dickie's Barbecue, by the way, is having their soft opening next Tuesday night. Yeah, we've hit about a dozen businesses, and we've been on the air 6 minutes.
Thank
Not
you.
Bad. Dwight, thanks so much
All
for
right,
the call,
Jim.
My friend.
Thank you.
Dwight Calhoun, and folks, he is one of the best insurance agents to be found in Topeka. So when you're filling out your Best at Topeka ballot, good name for you to remember. So, Rick, you've covered sports for how long now?
Well, 34 up till the last year or so. And now I've kind of run, or I'm a member, a low-standing member of our online team.
Okay, now what are you doing online? What's your...
And, you know, we look over the stories that reporters put up. We, you know, try to, you know, do some editing on that, try to punch up headlines, look for pictures, try to put related stories with, you know, with the stories that are posted, and the bad part of the job is calling balls and strikes on reader comments.
I was going to ask you about reader comments.
We got to do some moderation, so I kind of do it the way an umpire or a referee calls makes a charging call in basketball. Is the charge, is a block? I mean, you know, the comments that are right down the center of the plate, fine. Those, you know, easy. The ones that are way, way outside, those are easy to bounce. But it's the calls on the corner of the plate, you know, the ones that are truly, maybe not profane, maybe not insulting.
Well, obviously, you're looking for obscenities.
That's the ones way outside.
That's the no-brainers.
Those are easy to call. They're gone. Ones that just launch into personal attacks, easy. They're gone. But it's the ones, like I said, right on the corner. Not necessarily profane, not necessarily personally insulting, but highly insensitive. There are times the other day somebody lost a relative or had a relative involved in a stabbing. This guy just came on there just laughing his butt off at the hilarity of the stabbing in his mind. And this guy, the guy writes in and says, that's a family member, just knock it off. The guy wouldn't knock it off. Mm-hmm. After a while, you got to bounce him. I mean, it just there's no point in it. Everybody's got the right to express themselves, that's for sure. But, you know, there's still got to be some standards involved. I mean, you've got the right to express yourself on Facebook, Twitter, any social forum of your own making. But, the CJ Online is still the province of the Capital Journal, and there's still going to be standards. And people call it censorship. I'd like to call it good taste, but a lot of bad taste gets by.
Rick Dean, when you say personal attacks, you know, if I were to add a reader comment to an elected official, and there are several elected officials that I'm not totally fond of, if I wrote in and said, I think this elected official's a scumbag, now do you consider that a personal attack, or are you talking
that's
about...
It's on the corner.
Is it really?
That's on the corner. Scumbag's got a lot of... got some connotations that... we've come to use the term, but let's remember where it started. That's on the corner. Can you not take issue? Can people not take issue with other people without having to call them morons, idiots?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the level of discourse has fallen off so badly in our society. I mean, man's civility to his fellow man is gone out the window. I mean, there ought to be ways we can disagree without resorting to name-calling and that type of thing. But, like I said, you idiot seems to be the most common...
Yeah, if you agree or disagree with anybody anymore, it's you idiot.
you moron. And people can't even spell moron. It always comes out maroon.
For a wordsmith, that would have to drive you nuts.
Well, I've given up to the fact that people will not spell, punctuate, conjugate, or even know what those terms mean anymore. But the point is, I mean, you ought to be able to have some discourse without resorting to name calling. People love to use the term tard, which to me is purely offensive, and I tend to bounce that. And then people say, well, you're engaged in censorship. No, we're not. You're still free to go on your own Facebook site and say what you want, as long as Facebook will put up with you. But you're not necessarily going to do it here.
Now, three strikes and you're out as far as reader comments.
I don't know. There are people up there with 27, 28, 45 strikes on them. So, no, not necessarily.
But you basically have stricken their comments. But, again, they can come back the next day and comment on other stories.
I've put some blocks on people before. Just to, just put them in the penalty box for a day, 2 days, 3 days. In 3 days, I'll remember what I did and then go lift the block or something like that. They probably don't like it, and I probably don't care.
Rick Dean, reader comments. Obviously, it's changing the face of newspaper reporting as far as, this interactive media we have now. What about letters to the editor? I would assume those have pretty much fallen off the table.
I still love the concept of letters to the editor, though.
Do you get that many now that we have this reader comments segment?
Yeah, we still get them. But, Jim, the great thing about letters to the editor, you still got the courage of your convictions. You've still got to put your name and a town on that letter. And we're going to call and verify it. And that's why I admire letter to the editor writers, because they have the courage of their convictions. They'll put their name by what they say. But when they go online, the anonymous posters come in and sometimes agree, disagree. That's great, but it's a rip and tear that bothers me.
Yeah, the letters to the editor, I would agree, because, again, you do have the courage of your convictions, because your name is going to be printed at the bottom of that letter. Percentage-wise, letters to the editor are off by... X percent as a result of CG Online reader comments? Are they down 50%, 75%?
I don't know. I'll ask Fred Johnson, the editorial page editor, about it. I know we still get enough to fill every day.
Yeah.
And I know he has his pick of what he wants to of what he wants to put in there. So are they falling off? I really don't know. But like I said, I know he's got his choice of stuff.
Yeah, so. Yeah. Now, you covered the Royals, the Chiefs for how many years? 34 years you were a sports reporter.
I was a high school guy for 9 years. I had the Chiefs for 20. Came in with Carl Peterson and left when he did. I wonder if there's any relation there.
What do you think of Carl Peterson?
I had a good personal relationship with him. I mean, he called me into his office right before he announced his retirement, resignation, whatever, stepping away it was in 2008. Yeah. And he says, I'm getting the impression you're one of those guys who would just soon see me get out of here. And I said, wait, I got to stop you right there. I said, I've written that I'd neither, you know, commend or condemn what you've done here. I said, we've got a working relationship. We ain't pals, we ain't buddies, we ain't friends, but you talk to me, mm-hmm. and you give me the interviews I need, and that's the only personal relationship I had, that's the only personal relationship I wanted with the man. I mean, like I said, we're not going to be buddies with the people we covered. I mean, there are a lot of Chiefs I liked personally. I admired the heck out of Derek Thomas, and when he died, that hurt. But Carl, very professional relationship. I thought he was, a little arrogant, but he was good at what he did, and people who are good at what they do often come off that way. So I could appreciate that.
Well, Rick Dean, Pete Guerin, before Pete passed away. In fact, the last two times Pete was on the show, I had a suggestion for him. I'll have the same one for you, because Pete, covered the sports scene,
mm-hmm.
did a little bit of everything for the Cap Journal, in his 30-plus years here. It would have made such a great column. Pete's all-time top 10 list. The best of the best. The people that he worked with that he really enjoyed.
Individuals or events?
And the worst of the worst, because on Pete's list, he said, I don't want to write the worst of the worst.
I wouldn't either.
Really?
I wouldn't.
Yeah. But he did say there was one person that would have been on both lists, the best of the best.
Let me guess, Jack Hartman.
No, but you're very close. You're in the right sport. You're in the right profession.
Who do you have?
Roy Williams.
Roy Williams, yeah.
He said Roy Williams, when he first came to KU, and again, when we're talking about the best of the best and the worst of the worst, we're not talking about coaching or athletic ability. We're talking about just nice people. He said when Roy Williams came to KU, absolutely the nicest guy you'd ever want to be around. Just a true gentleman, good, good, good guy. He said by the time Roy Williams left KU, a great coach, nothing to do with his coaching ability, but his head was swollen to where he couldn't get through that door.
Oh, it was. And, you could always talk Roy down, too. He would say in every press conference, in the time I spent around Roy, you went into every press conference knowing there was going to be something he was going to say at some point in that thing that was going to make you mad, that was going to tick you off as a media member. He was going to say, you guys are always doing this, this, and this. And you could ask him, Roy, who in this room did this, this, and this? And he would back down, oh, it's not you guys. It's the national guys. I got no problem with you guys. But I found that, I don't know if that was charming or endearing, But he knew when to back off, and Jack Hartman was the same way. I mean, Bob Henson he really, really liked Jack Hartman, but there were times they could go at each other's throats.
Kind of an occasional love-hate relationship.
Yeah, an occasional, but I mean the love was there through it all. I mean, Jack would have Bob over to the house or something like that, and
both columns Rick would make. Great.
I couldn't do that. I couldn't do the worst. I try not to be a negative person, but
well, Rick,
calling balls and strikes online sure tempers your
but Rich sure 20 years outlook. In the Chiefs locker room. Now there had to be a period of 3 or 4 years under the waning days of Schottenheimer's regime, and I liked Marty Schottenheimer as a coach. In fact, I hit his house with a golf ball once. I'm that poor of a golfer. But there had to be days.
What course was that?
Huh?
What
it was south.
Leawood South?
I know. New course. It was the Derek Thomas Invitational.
Okay.
In fact, this was the last year of the Derek Thomas Third and Long Foundation mm-hmm. Invitational. $500 to play that day. Long story, the maid of honor at our wedding was a good friend of Derek Thomas, and that's how I ended up playing in this tournament. But I banged the side of his house with a golf ball. But Marty Schottenheimer, the waning days of his coaching, you had Tamarack Vanover, you had Dale Carter.
Bam Morris. Bam Morris.
You had thugs. I mean, just thugs.
He made a conscious decision in about 1998, the year of the Monday Night Meltdown, that embarrassed Lamar Hunt on Monday Night TV against Denver. He made a decision that I've tried to go with character guys. I've tried to do it right. Marty's like a lot of coaches who would take a bad guy and say, I can turn this guy around. All he needs is some guidance. All he needs is, no, what he needs is a kick in the butt. And he's, you know, maybe you can give him that too.
Yeah.
But he said, I'm not going to care about character. I'm going to bring in the best pure players I can. I'm not going to care what they do on the field. And you got the Tamarack Vanover, you got the Bam Morris, you got, you know, Dale Carter shooting up Westport in the Plaza, and it got ugly, and it led to that Monday Night Meltdown in 1998 where Lamar Hunt was embarrassed, and you don't embarrass Lamar Hunt. He was too great a gentleman. Marty felt bad about it, and a couple months later he was out. He knew he lost his team.
And that was it.
And it wasn't it for Marty. He didn't stay retired for long. Tried 1 year in the broadcast booth.
And then to San Diego he went.
Off to Washington initially.
That's right. That's right. He did have a stopover before he went to San Diego.
I remember he was in Washington in the year of 9/11.
That's right.
I covered the Giants' first game in Kansas City after 9/11 when Kansas City gave them that great tribute. In fact, it would have been almost impolite to have beaten the Giants that day in Arrowhead. And the next week we were in Washington with the first home game after the attack on the Pentagon. Two really moving ceremonies with the flags and the soldiers and the emotion. And it was hard to keep a dry eye those 2 days.
Rick Dean, are we going to continue to see moving ceremonies in Kansas City? The Chiefs are obviously on a losing roll. The Kansas City Royals, they've had 20 years tough, tough baseball. As far as fan appeal, are we in any danger of losing the Chiefs?
Well, they're locked in contractually till 2030, I believe, by the renovations to the new stadium. They're contractually locked in till, and right now, with the national economy being what it is, there's not a great number of people who will just throw cities or individuals who will just throw money at a ball team and say, you know, come to my place. If there were, there'd be an occupant in the Sprint Center, and that's not happening. I mean, all kinds of teams use places like Kansas City as bargaining chips to get, you know, what they really want from their hometowns. Chiefs and Royals did it a little bit with the renovations to the Truman Sports Complex. They said, if you don't keep these things in state of the art form, there's a part of our contract that says if these stadiums aren't kept in state-of-the-art form, we can break the lease. Now the lease locks them until 2030. So I don't think you and I will see a team moving, but you never say never.
The level of commitment from the Hunt family and the Glass family, in your opinion?
Night and day.
Now they're locked into Kansas City contractually, but as far as that emotional level of commitment?
Night and day.
Who's night? Who's day?
If day is a good time and night isn't, Lamar Hunt loved his teams. I mean that was his passion. Clark Hunt is a little more of a businessman. I don't know that he has his father's true passion for
Kansas City.
For sports in general. I mean, remember, the Hunt family built a soccer only complex in a stadium in Columbus, Ohio. So he had a tremendous love of soccer. He was in the Hall of Fame for World Championship Tennis.
Mm-hmm.
Lamar did, but David Glass gives you the impression of a cold businessman. You hear people accuse him of taking the Walmart approach to, you know, stock your shelves with less expensive material, mm-hmm. and the people will come. Well, it doesn't work that way in baseball. The lower priced players are lower priced for a reason, and you're locked in this period of you win if you come close to winning half your games, it's called a turnaround. And I don't maybe the new, you know, they're 5-2 under the new manager. Under yep. Ned Yost.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's his name.
Were you surprised they didn't give Frank White a shot this go around?
I was surprised they didn't give Frank White a shot 15 years ago. But
what's holding him back?
I don't know. I had the joy of being able to spend some time with Frank in the press box. He would finish his TV stint, or he was doing the postgame show. So he'd come down and sit with the writers. And you sit around and just pick his brain about baseball, about watching a guy, he had me one day with a stopwatch, timing a pitcher's move from the time he made his move to home until the ball hit the glove, and in that 1.2 seconds it took, he said, that's when I know whether I can send a guy to steal or not, send a guy to steal second. They sit there and listen to him timing a pitcher's delivery.
Yeah.
And knowing whether they could have a base runner run on that guy or not. I mean, just inside baseball stuff, it was brilliant to listen to the guy. But Frank will tell you, he tends to be brutally honest. He doesn't hold much back, except when he's an analyst on the games. But that nature of his probably held him back to some regard. Other than that, he's the finest baseball mind I've had the privilege to be around. A true gentleman. An ambassador for Kansas City, a guy that grew up in the
baseball,
in the streets of Kansas City, and was a product of the Royals Academy. I think he'd be perfect, but now Frank has said that they passed him by so many times, and at his age, he's not interested anymore. He's got a good gig on the TV side, and he likes it, and
he does a good job.
He's still around the game, and he's doing what he wants to do.
Yeah, and he's a very articulate, impatient individual on TV. I think he does a great job.
As classy a man as you'd ever want to meet. True class.
Yeah.
But why he's not manager of jury material, I do not know.
Well, I thought this would have been a shot, because obviously Kansas City was down and out again, and looking for something that would appeal to the fans, you know, increasing this fan base, just a level of enthusiasm. But I don't know whether a manager actually...
Probably not, Jim. I mean, you know, you get a little bump. It's mm-hmm. like changing managers in the middle of a political campaign. You get a day bump, but it probably didn't have a long-term effect. What'll have a long-term effect is if Ned Yost can keep a 5-2 going for a while, you know, they got a chance. We were counting that the other day. If they can stay three games above 500, they could be back to 500 by the end of July, I think. Yeah. Isn't that about the way it works?
Well, you know, they're in third now. They moved into third place last night.
Yeah.
So, I don't know anything about Ned Yost at all. I know a previous Milwaukee manager. I was surprised at the announcement, because I thought, obviously, Frank White this time would have been a lock. Shows you what I know.
Did you hear what Greinke said about him when they asked about him? A typical Zach. I don't know much about him. I guess he managed at Colorado or Milwaukee or somewhere. He looks like he should manage at Milwaukee.
Well, what what does that mean?
What do you have to look like to manage Brewers? Oh, it's just classic Zach, or Zach as I remember him.
Zach's what, 1-4 now?
Yeah,
Cy Young winner,
and still doing a great job. No run support. You got to be. That's got to drive you crazy.
Yeah. Rick, I know you've got to get downstairs.
I got to go back and call balls and strikes.
I appreciate you coming up, my friend. Rick Dean, it's always good to see you.
All right, Jim.
We used to have so much fun on the air. I really appreciate you covering.
You take care now.
All right. Rick Dean. Okay, Jay Perez coming in a couple of minutes, and we're going to be talking about the Better Business Bureau. Coming in at 9 o'clock, we do have Denise Eck, TV 49 News, and we've got John Arnold. He's coming in as well. And that's coming up at 9, 10 o'clock. Dave Jackson, of course, he's here each and every Friday. Lawn and garden tips. And don't forget, folks, I'm going to be on Ralph Hips, WIBW TV 13's 4 o'clock news today. I don't know what Ralph and I are going to be talking about. I never know what Ralph and I are going to be talking about, but it's going to be a lot of fun. So tune in this afternoon at 4 o'clock. We'll be back. Stay tuned. You're listening to the Jim Cates Show.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Eyewear Unique is a fun, upscale optical shop located in Topeka. They may be in mid-America, but their frame selection is world-class. The expert staff will help you into your first really awesome pair of high-quality eyewear. Their designer frame selection will hold its own against the finest shops in New York or L.A. Eyewear Unique is not just another optical shop. They are truly new and different. They are not interested in selling you a pair of glasses. They are interested in selling you eyeglasses for the rest of your life. Your face is a work of art, and it deserves a great frame. Eyewear Unique offers top-of-the-line designer frames with names like Etnia, Barcelona, Lunor, Robert Mark, LA Eyeworks, Bevel Specs, Feudenhouse, Oliver Peoples, Ray-Ban, and Oakley, just to name a few. The frames run from stylish and affordable $90 eyewear to the extraordinary Fossa Foss line, located at 4008 Southwest Huntoon Street in Topeka, or visit them on the web at eyewearuniquetopeka.com.
Take your face to the next level.
Eyewear Unique. Eyewear for life.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, something we haven't done today, jim.cates@cjonline.com. If you've got a question or a comment, would love to hear from you. A little housekeeping. Keep America Beautiful. You know, every Saturday they have a cleanup somewhere in Topeka and Shawnee County. Well, once again, Felicia McKay, I just got an email from her, and they're going to have to postpone their Saturday cleanup. I'm not sure where they were headed this Saturday. But at any rate, due to the inclement weather, due to the fact that we've had another week of just a lot of rain, it's going to be too wet for a cleanup tomorrow. So if you have an interest in volunteering some time to help keep America beautiful, keep Topeka and Shawnee County clean, you can give Keep America Beautiful a call at 224-0446. They're always looking for Saturday volunteers. And I know we volunteered for 3 years. We had a mile of I-70 highway back when I was with 1440 Radio that we cleaned up for a three-year period. And we've been involved with Keep America Beautiful as well. So, folks, it's just something you can do to help make your community look a little bit better. 224-0446. This hour is brought to you in part by My Home Away From Home, and we're talking about Jeremiah Bullfrogs, the best sports bar to be found anywhere in Northeast Kansas, 29th and Wanamaker. Check it out, folks. They've got great food. Chili, oh, I'll tell you, if you like hot, spicy chili, it just doesn't get any better than what they've got at Jeremiah Bullfrogs, 29th and Wanamaker. And if it's a televised sporting event, you can catch it there because they've got access to satellite TV. It could be a game that's being done for Houston viewers only. If there's a Houston team you want to follow, well, you can go to Jeremiah Bullfrogs and ask the waitress to plug you up, beam you up to whatever Houston sporting event it would be. Now, Jay Perez, you've got some interest in Houston.
Oh, yes, I do. I have been a Houstonian for many, many years, and back in December 15th of 2009, I moved to Topeka. I am the director for the Better Business Bureau in Topeka, and as of December 31st, the Topeka and the Wichita BBBs have merged to become a statewide Better Business Bureau.
Mm-hmm. Well, the reason I called you, my grandson called me a couple of days ago, and he was going to have some work done on his car. And I said, Ryan, the first thing you need to do anytime that you're going to a new business, always call the Better Business Bureau first and check the business out. And that way you'll know that your repair service is going to be done right. And he said, okay, Grandpa, I'll give them a call. What's their phone number?
Okay.
So I went to the phone book, and there is no Better Business Bureau listed listing in the phone book. What happened, Jay Perez?
Well, there's been some transaction difference right now that we're trying to make some adjustments and trying to get our number back out there.
Because it's not in the phone book.
I understand.
Yeah, yeah.
Like I said, the previous BBB directors had somehow miscommunicated that. But we're going to make the be listed again like we should be, and it's important that the consumers know that we're still here and we're still doing business and still protecting
them. You betcha. Okay, Jay Perez, what is the phone number for the Better Business Bureau of Topeka?
Okay, the Better Business Bureau phone number is 785-232-5055.
Okay. And again, folks, if you've never used the services of the Better Business Bureau of Topeka, Northeast Kansas, it used to be called, Joyce Woodard, years ago, was for many years the executive director of the Better Business Bureau of Northeast Kansas, and we used to have Joyce Woodard on the show on a regular basis. And, folks, if you're looking at buying a car, buying a refrigerator, looking at having your home roofed, remodeled, whatever the case may be, you can call the Better Business Bureau of Kansas now.
Kansas Incorporated.
And, yeah, the Topeka office, and say, hey, this is what I'm thinking about doing. Can you help me? Now, when I say, can you help me, then what does the Better Business Bureau do?
Well, we have a listing of all businesses, as long as they've been reported upon, businesses that are members and non-members, and we report, and we'll have a list, a complete report where there's even a rating on them, from A being the best, and then usually you'll find that as members, A plus, there's some A's that are non-members, and F being the worst. So that's the ones you need to stay away from.
Yeah, if it gets down to a D or...
A D, anything less than a C minus, you got to be set. There's some concerns. Usually
right.
We don't understand what type of business they are. They have issues with complaints. One thing, bear in mind that nothing's perfect in any day. There's nothing that's perfect. And if there's a complaint against a company, it doesn't mean that they're a bad company. It just means that there was an issue. But what did they do after they got the complaint? As it's resolved. You know, there's a lot of companies that will not resolve complaints, and that's the ones you need to stay away from.
Yeah, and Jay Perez, that's something that Joyce Woodard used to stress. Folks, when you call the Better Business Bureau, if they say, well, there's been 15 complaints on this company over the past 5 years, the key question you want to ask, the follow-up question, out of these 15 complaints, how many were successfully resolved? And if all 15 were resolved, then you know you're dealing with a merchant that at least is willing to take care of their customers.
Of course,
concerns.
Of course.
Absolutely. So, folks, again, the reason I had Jay Perez on the show today, it's not because the Better Business Bureau is a sponsor of the show. They're not, but it's because I believe in the Better Business Bureau. And if you see that Better Business Bureau decal in the window of a business, it's not only just paying your dues to become a member of the Better Business Bureau, you do have a code of ethics
that
a business has to subscribe to. So, folks, it does mean something because you'll pull a BBB's membership in a flash if they're not basically subscribing to your code of ethics, correct?
They have to meet certain requirements, and one of the most important requirements that they have to meet is that they have to respond to complaints. If there's accreditation, we based it upon how long they've been in business,
mm-hmm.
what type of business they are, the number of employees. There's about 15, 20 questions they have to meet in order for them to be an accredited business.
Mm-hmm.
And that little seal means a lot to them. You know, they're going to maintain that seal because they believe in us. They're trustworthy. Their accreditation is very important to them.
You betcha. Jay Perez is my guest. If you have a question about the Better Business Bureau, business practices, you can email us at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Jay, you've been here since December the 15th. I'm going to shift gears. We'll come back to the BBB.
Of course.
Now, you've been in Topeka now for 6 months.
Yes.
How familiar were you with Topeka?
Not at all.
Prior to coming here? Not at all.
Not at all.
Didn't have an impression of Topeka one way or the other?
Not at all. There was a time that I lived in Kansas City, Missouri for about 7 years right after the military. And then I went back to Texas. I'm originally from the Texas area. So.
Where do you live in KCMO?
Blue Springs.
Did you?
Yes. Okay.
Growing community.
Yeah, big community. I haven't been there, you know. I haven't gone out there since I've been here. But one of these days, I plan to go back out there.
And when were you in Blue Springs?
I was there from 1979 to 1986.
That's when they were really going through their growth period. Yeah. They
sure were.
In fact, our previous guest, Rick Dean,
mm-hmm.
Blue Springs resident.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes.
Interesting.
Small world. And I grew up in Liberty, Missouri.
I've been there, too.
Yeah, yeah. So that was your only experience in the Kansas City area. Really had no knowledge of Topeka. Your impression of Topeka now? You've been here for 6 months. What the good, the bad, the ugly?
Well, Topeka, for being a capital city, needs a lot of work. You know, there's it's a growing town, but like I said, there's still a lot of things that need to change. And we're finding that there's a lot of, and this is going back to the BBB, mm-hmm. there's a lot of scams going on out here. That is, it's very important that the consumers be aware of that. There's variations of scams and
localized scams.
Look, they're concentrating on the smaller towns, not so much localized because there's an infiltration of a lot of letters coming in that are from overseas, from Canada, from scam letters, which are on a daily basis we get anywhere from 5 to 10 calls on people thinking that they won the Canadian Lotto, and still.
Amazing, because that scam's been around forever.
And people are still, even after they come and visit me personally, and I kind of advise them not to, the best thing is to throw that away and move on. They still want to claim their prize. And my question to them is, it's always been, if they're telling you they're going to pay your taxes for $5,000, you won $150,000, $5,000 is not going to pay your taxes. You know, when you win any kind of prize, it has to be more than $5,000, and they have a check for $3,400. You know,
it's amazing. I say it's amazing because 2 nights ago I was with some friends whose in-laws were going through a similar scam. They got a call several months ago that they had won a Mercedes-Benz.
Mm-hmm.
And to get their prize, they had to send $5,000
mm-hmm.
for delivery of this $60,000 Mercedes-Benz.
Right.
To make a long story short, this couple has, over the past 6, 8, 9 months, has sent $175,000
mm-hmm.
to claim a $60,000 prize, and the prize obviously is a bogus prize.
Of course.
There is not going to be a Mercedes-Benz delivered to this couple. But they've been bilked out of $175,000. Now, these individuals are in their early 80s, but both of which are the husband held a very, very, very responsible job in his community.
Mm-hmm.
In the area of finance. If there is anybody that should have known better, it would have been this individual.
You would think so.
That watched his money very carefully. They're now out. They've gone through their IRAs. They've gone through savings. $175,000. And the daughter-in-law just happened to stumble across the scam going on, or they would have lost everything, which they almost have anyway. Unbelievable if these scams could happen, but they do.
They happen every day. And I want the public to know there's 5 things that we actually do. The first thing, our concern is every scam that comes across. If you receive a phone call, an email, or direct mail,
mm-hmm.
and they're offering you a prize, but wanting money back from you, call us. Let's find out who these people are. At least report upon them. and let us know who they are so we can kind of give you some kind of report. There's usually our nationwide BBB service has reports on every type of company across the nation, even internationally. The second thing that we do, we report on all companies, members and non-members. Mm-hmm. And the third thing, we look at all advertisements. We don't want our public to be misled. In fact, that is the way the BBB started back in 1912. It started with companies kind of concerned with everybody else's advertisement in Washington, D.C., where they took a group of companies and developed a way to patrol each other. Mm-hmm. That's when the BBB started. The actual BBB in Topeka started in 1966. Mayor Wright, after the big tornado that went through here, went to Kansas City and requested a BBB to be set up because there were a lot of bogus companies coming in and trying to milk our public here, our
roofers,
contractors,
builders,
I'm sure you, and you know that. So the fourth thing that we actually do, and this is important, that we review all charities. That means if a charity wants to become a BBB accredited charity, they have to reveal all documentation, including their financial records.
What do you consider a legitimate charity, Jay Perez? One that is basically 90 cents out of every dollar is actually going to the intended cause to help cure cancer, 50 cents out of every dollar, 20 cents out of every dollar, because we all recognize there are administration fees.
There is.
When you're soliciting money. But at what point in time does the BBB, Better Business Bureau, cut it off as far as recommending a charity because the administrative fees are too high?
Well,
or is there a magic figure?
Jim, I really don't want to answer that because I'm not sure. Okay, I'm being honest with you. I don't work in that department. We have a couple of employees that's all they work in charities. And to be honest, I'm not quite sure on what the percentage and how they handle that.
But if you call the Better Business Bureau, you'll advise,
of course,
the caller that, you know, the administration fees are X percent.
Right.
Okay. And then you can, the caller then can then make the judgment on whether
absolutely.
They want to contribute to whatever charity is.
And usually what I do, I'll just turn them over to that department and let them discuss it with them directly because, again, I don't want to mislead the public in any way I can. The final thing that we do organization, we are our members and non-members can come directly to the BBB and hear their case call in case of a complaint. Mm-hmm. We have legally binding arbitration services that will bind the company in any way in case it rules against them.
Mm-hmm.
So,
now what does that mean now? Let's say I've got a complaint. I've got a roofer that I've hired. I'm unhappy with the job.
Right.
I call the Better Business Bureau.
And
now what happens?
Well, if the roofer is a member, they have X amount of days to respond, and then there's a mediation period that we will try to mediate. We are the mediators in between.
Mm-hmm.
And if it gets to the point where we've gone as far as we can and they want to go into more into a legal service time, we will bring an arbitrator to arbitrate the and whatever the ruling of the arbitrator is, that's what it's based upon. Or they'll look at the whole complaint, and that's how it's resolved. We try to resolve it that way.
And again, the BBC or BBB,
mm-hmm.
you're not. It's not a legally binding opinion, but it would be ethically a binding opinion. I guess would be the best way to describe it, because you would still have that option to sue if you wanted to.
Of course.
If you were unhappy, but when the Better Business Bureau makes their ruling,
right,
then it's ethically binding on that Better Business Bureau member especially.
Right, especially.
Okay. Very good. So that basically are the five areas. Now, the five areas as far as number of phone calls coming into the Better Business Bureau, would they pertain to potential scams or somebody simply just checking on a business in terms of its reliability, reputation? Where do you get most of your calls?
It's a little bit of both. We'll get a lot of scam calls, and then we'll have a couple of individuals trying to check on companies, especially right now. You know, there's a lot of contractors coming out right now trying to now's the time to do their contract work. Now's the time to have the painter come in and paint your house. Now's the time to have that roofer work on your roof. You know, it's the weather's getting good.
You betcha. And roofing's something that I've got to have down here. And
well, you need to call us.
I absolutely will be calling you. Believe you me. Jay Perez is my guest, and Topeka resident has been here roughly 6 months. You said Topeka needs to do a lot of work. What else do we need to be doing? Because your impression when you drove into Topeka for the first time, on a scale of 1 to 10, favorable, unfavorable, whatever, let's attach a number to it, and let's discuss why.
You are putting me in a spot here, too. But well, it's okay. No, it's okay, because I do have
Because I love Topeka. I've been here for 30 years, but this is a town we've got some work to do.
There is some work to do. There's, you know, their downtown needs a lot of help. It's just, I lived in a lot of towns, and, you know, most of the towns that I lived in have very striving or very productive downtowns, you know, but from what I understand, that there is some work that's being already proposed. I'm working in the downtown area. It's I really enjoy it personally because it's it's a small town for me. It's different than what Houston is. We're going from probably 100,000 to six million.
Mm-hmm.
You know, traffic getting across is so much easier for me. You know,
yeah.
It takes me. I live off of Wanamaker and I-7. It takes me probably about 7 minutes to get to work. It used to take me 30 minutes just to get anywhere. In fact, where I lived at, it took me 30 minutes. You got to figure 30 minutes everywhere. So. But the size of the town is good. The community is wonderful, absolutely down to earth, good people in Topeka. I really have enjoyed that. So the big thing is has to be more community involvement. I think would help our city grow in a lot of ways. And I think if we all just like you were talking about that volunteering for that tomorrow.
Oh, Keep America Beautiful.
That's a perfect example.
Yeah.
If communities just come in and start working towards keeping our town beautiful, let's start with our own town. And when we'll work, you know, we're keeping America beautiful. We'll start with Topeka, keep Topeka beautiful. And then, you know, once our community leaders look at that, and then they start realizing that we need to do more. There's more to be done.
Yeah, yeah. I know, you know, we've sent missionaries to Haiti, and we're sending missionaries all over the world. I don't understand that. I never have, because there's so much work that needs to be done here in Topeka. There's so much work that needs to be done in Kansas. There's so much work that needs to be done in Houston. There's so much work that needs to be done in St. Louis, Kansas City. We've got a world of challenges right here in our country, the United States of America. Why aren't we focusing on that, and especially starting with our local communities?
Of course.
Why? I never understood that, but you've got a point. And, you know, this community does a pretty good job as far as volunteers. You know, our record is fairly good, but again, we've got a lot of work to do. But your impression of downtown, it's interesting because this is something we spend a lot of time talking about on this show. And I view Topeka right now, downtown Topeka, to me is Wanamaker.
Yeah, that is
because that's the heartbeat of Topeka right now.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what's wrong with that, other than a lot of people, when they come into a community, they're looking for the old traditional downtown, that Leave It to Beaver, Father Knows Best, Ozzie and Harriet downtown.
Of course.
And that we have lost somewhat in Topeka, and that we're attempting to rebuild.
It's going to take time. Everything's going to take time, and it just seems like you're right. The heartbeat is Wanamaker. But I think if we start, you know, offering tax favors to some of our restaurant owners, you know, to come downtown, because downtown is where your capital is, and that's where the heartbeat should be. Because, and then, you know, maybe bring some hotels, offer some benefit packages to them. You know, it's going to take some doing, and that. But, again, I'm not a politician, so I just kind of say what I feel, you know.
What did you do prior to working for the Better Business Bureau in Houston?
I worked for them for almost 8 years, and before then I had been in sales. I've been in sales all my life.
Oh, okay.
And then before then I was in the military. I'd spent 6 years in the U.S. and the Navy and served my country, and I'm very proud of my country.
Well, Jay Perez, you know, looking at your 8 years with the Better Business Bureau of in Houston, now you've been here over 6 months now. Any difference as far as the calls coming into the BBB? What would be the difference of the two communities through the eyes of somebody that works for the Better Business Bureau?
There is no difference.
Scams, still the same scams.
The same. It feels like the same callers are calling me still. You know, it's just it's the magnitude of the difference is the numbers of calls.
Yeah.
You know, in Houston.
Now in Houston, are you still the scammers? Are they still picking on the elderly? Are they picking on a different demographic in Houston than they are here? Who's being hit?
What the scammers look for is the weakness. You know, it's elderly, the unemployed. You know, people who are vulnerable out there that can take the bait, let's put it.
Mm-hmm.
Here's a good one for you. Have you heard about the grandparent scam?
I don't think so.
Well, there was a individual in Tennessee that was scammed for about $60,000. That's when a grandchild, supposedly, which is a scammer, will call a grandparent and tell him that he is in prison or in jail overseas, like in Canada, and that he needs money for bail. And it's happened, and it's happened quite often.
If you're calling, making a call to somebody, aren't there any laws on our books, federal laws, dealing with a phone call being made from one state to the other, scamming a person, pretending to be a person that you're not, getting into interstate commerce? There's nothing on the books.
As far as I know, and this is as far as I know, I don't think so. But these calls are not coming from state to state because we could track them then. We can be able to identify them with our network system that we have now.
Are they coming out of Canada?
Most of them are coming out of Canada. Not all of them. There's, of course, you have the Nigerian situation that we had too. But, yeah, a lot of, or England, there's, you know, the lotto in England. And,
what do we need to do to tighten our laws, our relationship with Canada? Is there anything that Canadian law enforcement's not doing that they should be, since so many of these scams apparently are still coming out of Canada? And I know we've had that problem in the past. I wasn't aware that was still the case.
Yeah.
But is there anything that the Better Business Bureau is pushing for as far as better law enforcement cooperation? Is that a problem? What do we need to do?
Council of Better Business Bureau, which is who oversees the whole BBB network, is working on that itself. But like I said, as far as I know, I'm not sure. I'm not sure on that too. So,
yeah, extradition if somebody in
Toronto or Montreal
is caught scamming somebody from this country, or are the two countries cooperating?
They are cooperating with each other, and it's just
on the extradition,
and,
you know, getting
and
somebody
getting
into,
identifying who these perpetrators are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's just amazing to me because I go back to this one couple, and this just happened this week. You know, I don't know the couple, but I certainly know the in-laws or the kids involved, kids my age. You know, dealing with 80-year-olds that are, have been scammed out of $175,000. And again, you know, just the educational level, the background of this individual's work for 40 years, what he did for a living for 40 years. How you could scam somebody like that is just...
I think we become more trustworthy as older as we get.
Maybe so.
You know, because a lot of these people were... They grew up with a handshake was good enough for them, you know. So they get a phone call. And then going back to the grandparent scam, one thing I want you to do is, in case that ever happens to anybody, gets a phone call, ask them a question that they would not recognize.
Yeah.
You know, like, what hospital were you born? Because all grandparents know what hospital the grandkids were born. You know, just ask a question, and you'll find out quickly if it's really your grandkid that's calling you.
Wow, it's amazing. Jay Perez, we appreciate you coming on with us. And again, the phone number for the Better Business Bureau.
Jim, let me give you a better number than that, because in case we might have some listeners that might be from other parts of the state.
Sure.
And I'll give you our website, which is, the phone number is 1-800-856-2417.
Okay.
And our website is www.kansasplains.com. www.bbb.org.
Okay, very good. And folks, again, if you think there's a possibility that you're receiving a solicitation from somebody where there might be a scam in progress, call the Better Business Bureau. If you're thinking about buying a car, buying a refrigerator, if you're thinking about a roof,
don't become a victim out there.
Call the Better Business Bureau. Check some of these businesses out. It can save you so much money, so much potential heartache on the other end. So do it. It's a great service. Glad you're here.
Jim, thank you. My pleasure, sir. Yeah.
And again, welcome to Topeka. I don't know whether you've met the director of TV 49 in Topeka, Denise Eck. She's going to be joining us in a few minutes. Jay Perez is a six-month resident of Topeka. He's now heading up the Better Business Bureau for Topeka. So good contact for both of you.
There you go.
Absolutely. Denise is going to be joining us officially in a couple of minutes. We're going to be talking about the top stories of the week. John Arnold is in Fort Collins, Colorado, as we speak, and he's going to be joining us by phone. Real quick, let's go to, telephone scams, email. Telephone scams, no matter where they originate, are covered by federal wire fraud laws, and that came in from Terrence. We appreciate it. And let's see what else. My wife wants to buy a palm tree from Dave Jackson when he comes in. All right, we'll talk about that. Let's see what. A couple of other emails on. Future guest Richard Fry is going to have a guest for us coming on June the 4th. I'm just kind of talking to myself here. I'll tell you what, let's take a break, and I'll catch up on my email reading. And again, this afternoon, folks, if you're interested, I'm going to be on Ralph Hipp's TV News at 4. I'll get this out of the way so Denise Ack won't hear me plugging another TV station, but that's going to be on TV 13 at 4 o'clock. So tune in for that if you have any interest. I would hope that you would. I would appreciate it. I don't know what we're going to be talking about, but it'll be fun. Okay, Denise Eck, TV 49 on deck. Stay tuned. More to come. I'm Jim Cates.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Back. Okay.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Eyewear Unique is a fun, upscale optical shop located in Topeka. They may be in mid-America, but their frame selection is world-class. The expert staff will help you into your first really awesome pair of high-quality eyewear. Their designer frame selection will hold its own against the finest shops in New York or L.A. Eyewear Unique is not just another optical shop. They are truly new and different. They are not interested in selling you a pair of glasses. They are interested in selling you eyeglasses for the rest of your life. Your face is a work of art, and it deserves a great frame. Eyewear Unique offers top-of-the-line designer frames with names like Etnia, Barcelona, Lunor, Robert Mark, LA Eyeworks, Bevel Specs, Feudinghaus, Oliver Peoples, Ray-Ban, and Oakley, just to name a few. The frames run from stylish and affordable $90 eyewear to the extraordinary Fossa Fossa line, located at 4008 Southwest Huntoon Street in Topeka, or visit them on the web at eyewearuniquetopeka.com.
Take your face to the next level.
Eyewear Unique. Eyewear for life.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, we're back. I think John Arnold might be joining us by phone in a sec. He's in Fort Collins attending some type of reunion out there.
Fantastic.
The 25th anniversary of something that he helped organize back when he was the COO of Fort Collins.
Terrific.
Colorado. So he's having a good time. But he was going to try to join us by phone. We still have Jay Perez with us. I want to held Jay over because we had an email that came in that puzzled me and wanted to get an answer because it says, and this one's from Terrence, it says, Jim, can your guest tell me why when I called the Better Business Bureau several years ago, I was told I would have to pay a fee to receive any information on any company I was asking about. I have refused to contact them since that time because I believe I was under the impression that the service was free to consumers. Jay Perez, what's going on?
Well, I can't answer what happened back some time ago, but there's never been a charge for any reporting of any company. Terrence, I don't know what happened that time, but we don't charge for our service to the public. It is at no cost. In fact, you can go on our website. Our website address is www.kansasplains.bbb.org and get the report directly, and there's no charge to that. So I don't know what happened that time. I encourage you to start using this. We don't want you or anybody else to become a victim out there. It's very important that you know that. So.
And if I could just jump in and give an independent testimonial, last fall, toward the end of the year, needed a new roof, and had found somebody that I thought was pretty good, and my background as an investigative consumer reporter said it will take me less than 2 minutes and cost me $0 to go to the Better Business Bureau website, and when I saw that the company had been in business for 20-plus years and had zero complaints, that's when I wrote the check, and it just gave me that peace of mind that I felt really good having met the person, you know, directly face-to-face, walking through the house, but before you write the check, it was just a fantastic resource. And I just love the BBB for the great story ideas and the good that we can do. So I'm perplexed by that email as well. I've worked with them in several communities, and it's always been free and fantastic.
Well, thank you, Denise. That's very nice. That we have so many of those stories every day that people, you know, we want our public to sleep comfortably at night.
Sure.
You know, once they use our service and realize how trustworthy we can be, that it makes good sense.
And there are good businesses out there, good locally owned, hard-working, trustworthy businesses, and it's hard to know one from the other sometimes, so it's nice to know there's somebody sort of on your side with it.
Okay, Terrence, I hope that takes care of it. Jay, thanks for hanging around.
One other thing, if I could,
sure.
I'll make it real quick. We have been at the Ramada Inn for the last 15, 20 years, and we are moving. As of June 1st, we will be at 508 West 10th Street, which is right there at the gym building and next door to the Pizza Hut. Please, if you like to come by and visit us at any time, we're going to be open from 9 to 5, and I will be there. So I look forward to meeting more of you out there.
That's great.
Okay. Jay Perez, thanks for coming in.
Thank you, Jim.
We'll do this again.
Soon.
Okay. Very good, because, folks, it is so important. It's one of the jewels in the crown of Topeka, our Better Business Bureau. Absolutely. Well, that was a nice testimonial, Denise Eck.
It's the God's honest truth, and it made me sleep a little bit better at night. And from a professional standpoint, there are, you know, so many stories out there. Unfortunately, they come up after someone has been scammed out of something. But it's nice to get the word out, and I feel like as a TV station, to a certain extent, that's our responsibility, to warn people if someone's had some misfortune before someone else does. You told that story in the break about the people scammed out of a car. The one rule we've told people is if you haven't entered a lottery, you haven't won the lottery. If you're not playing the Nigerian lottery, you have not won the Nigerian lottery. If you did not enter to win a Mercedes, you have not won a Mercedes. And in general, if you never give out personal information unless you've solicited the call. If you call up the bank and say, I've got a question about my statement, and they ask for your you know, social security number, that's okay because you initiated the contact. Someone out of the blue calls you up and says, give me your bank statement, I'm your bank. Forget it. Hang up on them. And that's why you mentioned the grandparent scam. That's why that one's so dangerous, is because, of course, a family member could call you out of the blue in a crisis, and who wouldn't want to help them? That one, I think, is particularly devious and cruel.
Absolutely. Because I could see where that would work.
Sure.
You know, you would have Sergeant Smith from Fort Lauderdale calling.
Sure.
We've got your grandson in jail.
Yeah.
And if you want your grandson home over the weekend, we need $5,000 sent to us now.
Now.
Yeah.
Who wouldn't do that?
Yeah, absolutely. I can understand that one working. But this Mercedes scam, amazing, because I know the background. I don't know the people involved directly. I know the kids. They're my age. But, again, I know the background of the individual that was scammed. I know where he worked. I know what he did for a living. I know his lifestyle. And, again, a very intelligent,
sure,
well-educated individual that had a background in finance and, again, was called and said that he had won this $60,000 Mercedes and they needed $5,000 for delivery. I can understand,
sure,
a smooth-talking individual,
sure,
talking you out of $5,000. How does it get up to $175,000 for a $60,000 car?
I'm not 100%
sure.
I understand the finances of it, but once they've got your personal information, once they've got access to your accounts, it's over.
Well, they did this willingly. This couple,
sure,
was willingly,
sure,
sending this $175,000,
yeah,
you know, in $5,000 and $10,000 chunks over a several-month period.
Part of it, I worry, is generational. You talk about them being the kids being your age. I think, you know, when you've got someone who grew up years ago, and perhaps it's a stereotype, a more trusting time. You know, people
That's
didn't
what Jay said.
People
yeah.
didn't cheat each other out of things. And so, you know, to suddenly say, oh, times aren't like they used to, I wonder if this is a scam, I think people of that generation don't think that way. That was a time when you helped your neighbor out, and, you know, to suddenly think that somebody wasn't on the up and up, it doesn't click into your mind. And that's what's so sad about it, and that's why so often older folks are scammed, and it's despicable.
Yeah. Yeah, and Jay said there's no local scams working as such, you know,
right,
on this magnitude.
Sure.
You know, these are coming from out country.
Yes.
And still Canada seems to be the culprit.
And I'm not sure why that is, if it's the law or or what, but I have heard that too.
Yeah, and I asked Jay about extradition, you know, whether mm-hmm. there's cooperation between law enforcement agencies, and Jay said, yeah, no problem there. You know, if somebody is caught in Canada scamming somebody from the lower 48, they are going to be arrested in Canada, and Canada will extradite that individual back to whatever state.
It's my understanding that the hitch in that is the finding them. You know, how do you trace them back, and, you know, does our government or their government have the resources to find all these people who can, you know, set up in a basement and start, you know, making phone calls and sending emails and...
But didn't they say, wouldn't a phone call be easily traceable to Canada?
You'd think. But in the reporting that I've done, my last reporting job was in Roanoke, Virginia, and worked with the Roanoke Police Department. They had a specific financial crimes unit and,
yeah,
you know, a big folder, and they'd show us the letters of the Nigerian lottery, and you've won this and that. And they just, you know, you hit a roadblock after a certain point. Okay, we know it's coming from Canada, but... You know, I'm a cop in Roanoke, Virginia. I can't go up and investigate in Canada for weeks and weeks on end until I find these, you know, dirt bags. So it stops at a certain point. It's, I think, to a certain extent, the focus is on prevention, getting the word out, making people aware that, unfortunately, some people fall for it, but make sure you learn from their misfortune.
Denise Eck, TV 49 News, is my guest, the news director for TV 49 News. Just got an email from John Arnold.
Oh, true.
He is going to be calling us in a couple of minutes, and he is in Fort Collins as we speak. And John's with us each and every week. You're with us every third week,
mm-hmm.
and we appreciate you coming in. Let's talk about Denise Eck's top story of the week, because John Arnold emailed me, and I think John's top story is going to be mine. It's going to be focused on more of a national issue. But let's
Can I guess your national issue? Is it Rand Paul?
Well, that's going to be mine.
Okay.
John's is going to be, well, let's talk about Rand Paul if you want. John's is going to be primary election night, I think, you know,
okay.
the whole
sure.
basket. Mine
okay.
was focused on Rand Paul.
Sure.
You want to go with that one first?
I saw him this morning on Good Morning America with George Stephanopoulos getting pretty heated. I haven't followed it too closely, but it's my understanding that he's in particular hot water after an interview on MSNBC on the Rachel Maddow show, where he was talking about during the civil rights era and is it appropriate for private businesses to discriminate? You know, we reserve the right to refuse service to anyone. And she tried to nail him down on lunch counters. Is lunch counter segregation appropriate? And he would not answer. And as an interviewer, I'm always troubled when someone will not answer. You know, have the courage of your convictions. Is it right? Is it not right? But it came to a bit of an impasse this morning with him and George.
Yeah, I think he did answer, and I think his answer was that, you know, his he's a libertarian running as a Republican.
Sure.
And he makes no bones about the fact that his philosophy is rooted in the Libertarian Party. And he said, you know, getting into private businesses, you know, regulating who can come in and come out of that business, he said, you know, it does trouble him somewhat.
Sure.
But he said if he had to vote on the civil rights law again in 1964, he would support the civil rights law. He says he's never advocated, you know, revisiting the civil rights law that passed in 1964. So he was getting into kind of a philosophical
sure.
discussion on parts of the Civil Rights Act that passed in 1964, and he's personally troubled by that one aspect of it, but he said politically, I don't think we
sure.
need to open up this can of worms again. Let's just stay with the law we've got.
The thing about the lunch counters, though, I think incited so many people and critics of the Tea Party and that kind of thing that, you know, that it was so, you know, such a negative part of our history. And to say, oh, well, or to even give the hint, or, you know, or the implication, oh, it wasn't that bad. Or, you know, maybe those lunch counters, oh, maybe they were onto something. I think that was what incited such controversy. But
Denise Eck, this was something I predicted a week ago Monday on the show that was going to happen with Rand Paul winning the Republican primary in Kentucky. We predicted this exact same
sure.
thing was going to happen because Rand Paul is the outsider running for public office. Rand Paul picked up no establishment Republican support in Kentucky whatsoever. He had, you know, the what's left of the George W. Bush machine was in Kentucky
sure.
campaigning for Rand Paul's opponent. Mm-hmm. Rand Paul made the statement that if I'm elected to the United States Senate, I may or may not vote for Senator McConnell as Senate Majority or Minority Leader.
Wow.
Now, you've got to remember that Senator McConnell is is also a Kentuckian.
Okay,
you know,
sure.
So mm-hmm. Rand Paul is going to give the Republican Party fits if he's elected.
Yeah.
The Republican Party needs Rand Paul. They need every Republican they can get to win elections.
Sure.
This is not going to be an easy path. And I predicted a week ago Monday that if Rand Paul, which he was favored to win the primary, he was going to be the target of the Dick Cheney wing of the Republican Party sure. as well as the Democrats.
Mm-hmm.
This is going to be a long, long road to hoe for Rand Paul
That's
getting
true.
From point A to point B, even though right now he's leading in the polls
mm-hmm.
to win in November.
I think he's tapped into, and maybe it's something similar in Pennsylvania with Spector being out, you know, this frustration. You know, I think that's what has made the Tea Party as successful as it has, this feeling of, you know, the path we're on, it isn't right, and instead of sitting at home and complaining about it, I'm going to get active and I'm going to do something about it. And the established politicians, the career politicians, you know, are potentially in some trouble because people are mad as hell and they're not going to take it anymore.
I was so proud of the Democrats in Pennsylvania because Arlen Specter, former Kansan, graduated
That's true, from
Russell High School. Yes,
That's
he did.
True.
And went to grade school, I believe, in Wichita. So certainly has a Kansas heritage. But having said that, if there was ever a political whore, it's Arlen Specter. You know, he flipped from the Republican Party to the Democrat
sure.
Party in order to win re-election,
period,
because it looked like the Republican primary was going to be too tough. Certainly not standing up for his convictions,
sure.
if in fact he has any. But flipping to the Democrat side of the ledger, Arlen Specter was a hands-on favorite, the odds-on favorite to win his primary because the president was supposed to come in
yeah.
and campaign for him. The president started reading some of the polling numbers and said, you're not going to get me in Pennsylvania campaigning for this guy. So Arlen Specter loses the primary to a backbencher first-term
mm-hmm.
congressman.
Yeah.
And I agree with you, Denise. You know, this feeling of throwing the bums out.
Yeah.
This could be the year.
Sure.
Because the Democrats appear to be just as frustrated as the Republicans, that it's time for, as Obama has said, change. And we might see it.
Mm-hmm. Not what he expected, but yes, that's absolutely true.
Yeah.
I have an acquaintance who, and I think, you know, maybe everybody knows a person like this, who refuses to vote. Doesn't matter, doesn't make a difference, I'm not going to waste my time with it. And when I think of the Tea Party, I think this is the exact opposite of that. It's up to me to make a change. If I don't like it, I'm going to fix it. And I just love that American spirit about it. I'm not sure I agree with, you know, too many of their thoughts, but that part of it I just love, that we're not going to, you know, sit home and complain or wait every 2 years or 4 years to have our say. We're going to say now. And I think that's just fantastic.
Now, this acquaintance of yours.
Yes.
Were they energized by the Tea Party movement, you say?
No, not energized by anything at all.
Still
no.
sitting at
no,
home.
No, not doing
doing
it.
Nothing.
I'm one person. It does not matter. Nothing. And have been through, you know, several exhausting, exasperating, you know, dinner time conversations where everybody ended up throwing up their hands and saying, all right, you're going to think what you think. I'm going to think what I think. But when I see the Tea Party gatherings, it makes me think of that and think this is, you know, the 180 of that.
You bet. You know, and these are the people that are truly doing a lot of harm to our country, people that you just described. You know, it's not the liberals. It's not the conservatives that are doing that much harm, because if you're a committed liberal, obviously, that's coming from the other phone. Okay. But, you know, liberals love this country every bit as much as those of us that are conservatives
sure.
do. They're fighting for what they believe in. They're fighting for a left-to-center liberal cause that they think ultimately is going to be good for America.
Sure.
But it's somebody that's sitting on their hands, doing nothing, not bothering to vote. These people I have no respect for.
Feels kind of anti-American.
Huh?
Feels kind of anti-American.
Absolutely.
That was the whole point of
Absolutely.
The founding of this country, is everybody gets a say.
Yes.
And you may not get your way, but you at least get a say.
Yeah.
And so, you know, it's sort of disappointing that you try to convince, and, you know, I've been at the dinner table with the conservatives and the liberals, and we're all on the same side on this one. You know, just vote, just go. I don't even care who you pick, just do
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely. I want to hear the opinion of an impassioned liberal that is involved in the process.
Impassioned anybody, sure.
Absolutely. I could care less. If I know that somebody hasn't voted, I don't want their opinion. I don't care anything about their opinion.
It doesn't count.
I will tune them out. They mean nothing.
Yep.
Absolutely. I don't want to give that person any credibility, any credence whatsoever. John Arnold, I believe, has just joined us. Good morning, John.
I am there.
Well,
good morning.
Good morning, Denise. Good morning, Jim.
And
yeah, I'm here, and, I'm reminded, you guys talking about people who don't vote, of the little old woman I met some years back who said, I never vote. It just encourages them.
John, I'll tell you, you know, one of the great things the Cap Journal started doing about 4-6 years ago, maybe, when a candidate officially files for election, at some point in time during that campaign cycle, the Capital Journal is going to run an article on the times that candidates running for public office have or haven't voted. And, boy, let me tell you, there's been some shockers. Somebody running for public office that out of the past 10 years maybe has voted 25% of the time.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Oh, my.
Yeah.
That's a no-no.
And you want everybody to go out and vote for you. Yes, shocking.
Well, I know the Capital Journal, as a result of, their background work on this, it certainly has changed the way that I voted on a couple of occasions, because I can remember two occasions I was going to vote for Candidate A in mm-hmm. a primary race.
Yeah.
Then I read that Candidate A hadn't voted 75% of the time I voted for Candidate B, and this happened twice.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And we've talked... Go ahead, John.
I'm sorry. I was just going to say, you kind of expect if somebody's running for office that they have a certain degree of citizenship and patriotism, and that
yes.
means you vote, I think.
No, absolutely. Absolutely correct. I love stories like that. You know, we've talked in the past a bit about the state of the media and budget cuts and doing more with less and, you know, shock TV and how do you get people to watch and is there, you know, time or desire for those kinds of stories. But I think that's, you know, the responsibility of a you know, free press is to, you know, let's dig in a little bit. Let's give the audience information that they need and may not think to or have the ability or the time to check into on their own. I love stories like that.
Sure.
That's fantastic.
Sure.
John Arnold, Denise Eck and I were talking about primary election night. I don't know, that's an email I received from you. That was going to be one of your top stories of the week. So let's get your opinion. Were you surprised at anything that happened or didn't happen last Tuesday night? Because we had primaries in four states last Tuesday. Anything that really stands out that surprised you?
Well, I think everything that you guys were talking about was a bit of a surprise. I mean, Arnold Spector has been a very strong candidate in Pennsylvania since he was, prosecuting attorney or attorney general in Pennsylvania before he became senator? I think he's Philadelphia prosecuting attorney or something like that. But he's pretty good, as you called him, a political whore, switching parties, but he's been very strong. But, you know, a guy gets to be 78, 79 or something like that, and the voters start looking at him a little harder, I think, and wondering about his judgment. The Paul election in Kentucky, that was kind of fun. I didn't get to hear the conversation that you all said he had with George Stephanopoulos. Was that this morning?
No, that was Sunday morning, wasn't it, Denise?
Sunday morning.
Yeah.
Well, no, it couldn't have been Sunday because he wasn't elected until Tuesday, right?
But I think the conversation was Sunday, wasn't it? Wasn't that Stephanopoulos is now hosting?
He is hosting Good Morning America. No, I heard that this morning. No,
that was this morning.
Between he and Rand Paul was this morning. And I apologize, I'm not sure when the Rachel Maddow interview on MSNBC took place.
That would probably be last night. Because she's on it like 9
she's,
o'clock.
She's on in the evenings. I'm not sure if it was last night or maybe the night before. I think it's had some traction, so it may have taken another day
to get that. I misread it, apparently. I assumed the Stephanopoulos interview was Sunday prior to
It was this morning.
Prior to the primary election.
No,
it just happened.
No, it was this morning, and it was sort of he kind of laid it out there and said, you know, kind of asked and answered. I've talked about this. I've talked about it before the election. I talked about it with Rachel Maddow. I'm done talking about it. So that's where the interview got a bit contentious, but George was trying to nail him down a little more specifically on the lunch counters and such.
Yeah, I heard a little bit on CNN this morning with Candy Crowley saying how he really kind of reflected he's a neophyte in politics to let himself get into talking about the Civil Rights Act and whether you ought to repeal it.
Good point.
It's a 40-year-old piece of business. And,
yeah.
You don't need to back up to 1964 and let's talk. You know.
Well, and John Arnold, I think that does point out that Rand Paul is a neophyte in politics and possibly needs, you know, somebody, a member of the old guard now coming into this campaign and kind of guiding him through these landmines, potential landmines, because there's going to be many of them coming from the right and the left, I think, over the next 5 or 6 months. Because, again, the establishment Republicans aren't enamored with Rand Paul, which is one of the reasons I'm so excited about this guy.
It sure makes it interesting.
Yeah. But you're absolutely right. He never, never, never should have been embroiled in a conversation over a 1964 Civil Rights Act.
Sure.
It does show his political naivete. Absolutely.
But at the same time, you know, one of the things that apparently is attractive out there is that he is a political neophyte. And that he doesn't have any ties like Arlen Specter had. And so he's candid and open, and that has a certain appeal until he ends up offending everybody some way along the line. And we've had people do that.
He's the anti-Specter.
He's what? The anti-Specter?
The anti-Specter.
That's a good point, yeah.
John Arnold, through your eyes, this Arlen Specter defeat in Pennsylvania, can you equate that to a Democratic Tea Party movement, activist movement out there? Or do you think there was something else at play simply because the Democrats didn't trust this former Republican's flipping parties?
Well, he'd been an opponent of theirs for so long, it's pretty hard for them to embrace him, I would think. And the political organizations that have worked so hard against him for, 30 years or something like that? And then all of a sudden he's on their side. I think that's a hard switch. And, you know, if he has a great future, they can make that switch. But he doesn't have a great future. You know, he's done, actually, and he was on the downhill slide when he switched parties. So, no, I don't think I don't think it means anything. It's just a completely different situation. just an anomaly in the whole thing.
Okay, as a result of Tuesday night's primary, I went to Real Clear Politics. And, folks, this is a site you might want to check out if you haven't. And basically it's the latest polling numbers throughout the country. And the way that it stacks up now in the United States Senate, of course, we currently have 59 members that are Democrat. We have 41 members that are Republican. And if the election were held tomorrow, in our states that have a primary, it looks like right now the Republicans are going to pick up 7 seats. There's 8 seats to where the Republicans are going to defeat a Democrat, 1 seat to where the Democrats are going to defeat a Republican. So if the election were held tomorrow, rather than having a 59-41 split, it would be 52-48. 52 Democrats, 48 Republicans. And again, check out this Real Clear Politics, folks, if you have an interest in following this issue, because, again, they update this site daily on polling that's being conducted in virtually every state. That
RealClearPolitics.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Great, great, great site. And again, they cover the congressional races, Senate races, gubernatorial races, the whole nine yards. And it's a great site. Kansas, they're not covering because they have got this one locked in. It will stay Republican, so it's one that you're not going to find any polling numbers on that site. In terms of the Senate race, you'll find some gubernatorial figures, which is rather interesting. John Arnold has joined us from Fort Collins, Colorado. Denise Eck, TV 49 News Director, is with me, as she is every third week. Denise, let's talk about your top story of the week. We talked about John's and mine.
We did a story last week that's sort of bubbling up again, the Human Relations Commission, as Norton Bonaparte looks at every dollar the city spends. Is it worth it to spend $184,000 a year on 3 employees? We did a little checking to see who else had such a commission. Kansas City, yes. Emporia, no. Wichita lets their local NAACP handle challenges that may come up under this umbrella. So we thought it was one of those things, you know, it had come up in a city council meeting, and so we explored it a little bit and talked to the head of the commission about, you know, do we really need to spend this? Why is it worth this kind of money in this kind of an economy? And just got an email earlier this week from a group that is fighting to save it. So there will be a rally in a week or so about, you know, let's save this commission, and do we really need it, and here's why we really need it. And I think it's kind of interesting. You know, I'm glad to see that our city leaders are scrutinizing every dollar when city employees are being cut and, you know, teachers are being cut, that the people who spend my tax money are looking at everything just as you would with a household budget, saying, do I really need to spend this money in this kind of situation? So that one got a little traction for us online, and I'm eager to see what happens at the rally next week.
John, your thoughts. You've been through this.
Yeah. What Norton has proposed is eliminating the Human Relations Commission staff, not the commission itself.
What is it? What's the commission without a staff? Who does the work if there's nobody there?
Well, they're there to be a sounding board for things that are going on, and they have some moral suasion that they can use. The staff itself just investigates particular complaints. And I always had a bone of contention with the level of work effort and, frankly, reporting of what they actually had accomplished while they were there. And what Norton is suggesting is that the state agency can do the same kind of investigative work, and so we don't need to duplicate because they're just across the street.
Sure.
Or down the street.
Down, yeah.
And that's different than Wichita or any place else because they don't have a state commission sitting there in their front door. And
I would hope that the state commission would be open to things throughout the state, though.
Oh, I'm sure they are. I'm sure they are. But it's a lot easier for somebody in Topeka to go to the state commission than it is for somebody in Wichita to get the staff to help them. And I think that's a good thing for Norton to do.
Well, the staff, this 3-member staff, John Arnold, Denise Eck, we had in Topeka, or have in Topeka, it's kind of a toothless lion anyway, because there's really no enforcement powers, is there, amongst these 3 people, because the state ends up ultimately making the decision on what's going to happen anyway. So the staff is really doing nothing in terms of enforcement powers, correct?
they don't have an enforcement power as such. They have a negotiating strategy and power. And somebody raises
But the power, as you say, is six blocks down the street. So
yeah.
Why are we paying these three people? I'm proud of Mr. Bonaparte for recommending the elimination of these three staff positions.
Yeah, it's a good thing to consider. What are we doing? Why are we doing it? And I was always trying to get them to give me a report telling me how many cases they pursued and what the results were, and they were really reluctant to give information like that. And that always bugs me. That always makes me be very suspicious about what a staff is doing.
And from our end, we never even tried. To us, it was something, you know, we never thought about as a mover or shaker or major player in big news stories that we were covering. I'd get an email every so often, here's what's on our agenda, but it didn't really, you know, get any traction with us. So
sure.
Denise Heck, counting noses on this, taking a look at our non-members of the city council, where's this going to go? Have you heard from any member of the city council that's going to defend retention of this Human Relations Commission?
Not so far, I have not.
Okay, yep. Okay. Because I think a couple have indicated that they're certainly supporting Mr. Bonaparte's
sure.
position.
Yep.
And I don't know where the opposition would lie.
And I think you have to be careful. It's not that, you know, the message isn't we don't care about racial complaints or, you know, other things covered by the Human Relations Commission. It's that there's a more efficient, more streamlined way to handle such complaints.
Well, I think just by virtue of Norton Bonaparte being a minority, you know, this is going to lend more credibility
maybe so.
Basically the elimination of this Human Relations Commission. Because if you've
got
a minority saying
this,
then is there really a need for it? John Arnold, you're in agreement?
I'm in agreement, yep. He's that's one of the things that he brings to the table. A white person would have trouble saying, well, you don't understand. And I suspect that Norton understands. And but at the same time, you know, it's a rational. The rational nexus is, do we need to have multiple agencies doing the same thing? And the answer is obviously no. Certainly not agency staffs doing the same thing. And I think that's the critical element, and Norton is trying to address it. And I think that's a good thing to do.
Well, interesting, because I think on the show last Monday we were talking about this issue, and I was under the impression there wasn't any city anywhere in Kansas that actually had a paid staff Human Relations Commission, but you say KCK.
No, I'm sorry, Kansas City, Missouri.
Kansas City, Missouri. Okay.
Yeah.
Very good, because I don't think we have anybody in Kansas that actually has a paid staffer functioning as a Human Relations Commission for any city, because I believe the state Human Relations Commission is basically doing this work for all of our cities, with the exception of Topeka.
Yeah,
which is unique that we're six blocks apart, and we're the only city that's paying three people to do what the state is also doing. Yeah. Okay. Any follow-up on this? John Arnold, closing comment?
No, I think you've got it covered pretty well. It'd be interesting to see if Norton can pull off this reduction in staff. That would help his budget.
Okay, Denise Heck, feedback from TV49 viewers.
Well, the rally...
Are you getting any pushback from this?
None.
Okay.
None that I've seen so far. We have gotten the emails about the rally, which is next weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and I think turnout is always an issue when you have something over a holiday weekend. I think people are tuned out and doing other things. So I'll be interested to see what the turnout is and what their argument is. You know, is it not a duplication of efforts and resources and money, and why is it so important to keep? So that one we're keeping an eye on.
When is the rally, Denise?
I believe it is a week from tomorrow.
And where?
Gosh, John.
Okay.
Somewhere.
Sorry.
Somewhere in Topeka.
Somewhere in Topeka. Okay.
Let me. I'm checking my BlackBerry now to see if I have it.
Okay, and that's coming up a week from tomorrow.
I believe so.
All right. We've got the mayor coming on the show Monday morning, and I'll certainly be asking the mayor about this. And
sure.
Again, whether there's going to be any pushback from any of our city council members, I don't know who it would be, you know, off the top of my head, I would say Sylvia Ortiz, not because of the issue of the Human Relations Commission, but the issue that she doesn't get along with Norton Bonaparte. I don't know.
Well, I think you've got that same issue with John Alcala also.
Possibly so, yeah.
For the same reason.
Yeah, yeah.
Norton, but is it worth $184,000?
Yeah. Huh. Okay, all right. We'll be following this one. John Arnold and NESEC, they're my guests. John, let's go around the table. Around the table, you're sitting in Fort Collins, Colorado. Real quick, what are you doing in Fort Collins? I know you talked about this briefly on the air last Friday.
They're having a celebration, a 25th anniversary celebration of an old town creation that happened during my watch as city manager. And it has been a tremendous boon for the town, and it's just lovely. It's terrific. And they invited me back for some kind of a celebration, and I'm delighted to be here.
That's great.
Yeah, I walked around the old town last night and the downtown, and it's just as vital as it can be. If we could get Kansas Avenue to be like the five or six blocks of College Avenue, actually it's about 20 square blocks, I suppose, of very vital downtown activity that goes on late at night, you know, it's just a whole lot of fun. Frankly, it's a nice place to be. Walking along, people friendly to each other, and it's just neat. It's worked very, very well.
Leadership positions in Fort Collins, Colorado. Anybody still there in a leadership position that was active 25 years ago as this was all being created?
One council member is, as I recall, he was opposed to it.
Really? Yeah.
But he left the council, then he got back. And this is a council member that is a long story. But, yeah, there are a lot of people here, and those people are being invited back. A couple of the big movers and shakers that I worked with have passed on, and so they won't be able to be there, but they'll be remembered.
Oh, boy. Well, it's going to be quite a situation for you.
A situation where they were trying to do this thing with private sector money to do this old town, and we were encouraging the heck out of them. And they got to the point, and it just didn't pencil out with their investors. And it didn't work, and we finally said, well, why don't we lease you the street for about five blocks, or three blocks, I guess it is, and you can then make a plaza and a mall out of that, and that'll be an asset, and that'll help your bottom line. And then we agreed to guarantee the bonds through a municipal guarantee insurance corporation, and that helped the investors, and that helped make it work. So it was one of those deals where the city didn't have to put money into it, just had to be a little bit creative in terms of how to help the private sector guy work. And it was another one of those things where you said, okay, I don't know if this guy's going to make any money off this deal, but what he's going to do is help build this community very nicely, because even if he fails, this project is going to be really good for the community.
Well, John Arnold, I hope the Think Big Topeka community and starts to involve you in some of the discussions on downtown Topeka.
That's a great idea.
You bet.
I think the other model I've been thinking about for downtown Topeka is the 16th Street Mall in Denver. I don't know if you've been there, Denise.
I have not.
It's just lovely. It was a rundown area of Denver, and about 20 years ago, they created the 16th Street Mall, and they run buses on it, but no cars. And the buses are free, shuttles up and down the mall on both sides, and with the center divided median, and all kinds of kiosks and shops, and the economic development has been tremendous. Tremendous.
John Arnold and Denise Eck are with me. Top stories of the week. I want to touch on mine if I could.
Okay.
What you've got?
I wrote down zoo break in.
Let's get into that in a couple of minutes.
Okay. Sure.
But real quick, legislative session. Mm-hmm. Legislators were in town 89 days. Denise Eck, through your eyes, and we'll go around the table, the roses and the thorns. You know, what was our legislators' biggest accomplishment? Our legislators' biggest disappointment through your eyes? The thing that they did that disappointed you the most, and their biggest accomplishment on the other side, the roses and the thorns. Let's get into both.
Well, that's a good question. Maybe it's budget for both. You know, thank God they passed one, and my taxes are going up. So, you know, I'm glad it's done. I'm not thrilled with what it is. But I, you know, the governor was very clear, if you bring me something that doesn't have a tax hike, I'm not signing it. So I'd have to say budget, and that's a kind of a crummy milquetoast answer. But to me, that was all I was really focused on. And, you know, abortion law is significant and seatbelt laws are significant, but my eyes, partly as a journalist and partly as a citizen, were on budget and taxes and what's it going to cost me to live here.
Okay, John Arnold.
Somewhat similar in that I was very pleased that they balanced the budget. Now, the fact that they had to deal with the sales tax is a little bit disappointing because we had laid out, the Kansas Advisory Commission on Intergovernmental Relations had laid out a strategy of rolling back the tax exemptions so that the $4 billion we give away out of the six of sales tax we collect would be balancing the budget. You know, you could balance, cut back on those things. You don't have to do it all at once. You could do a little bit this year, and a little bit the next year, and a little bit the next year until you've rolled back the sales tax exemptions, the tax breaks that we give everybody every year. It's just like an appropriation, and yet we give it to them without any fearing, without any comparison of each appropriation to each other, like school, public safety, highways. And so I'm disappointed that they didn't do that. They could have balanced that budget on those tax exemptions had they just bitten the bullet and did it. It's a lot easier than passing a new sales tax, I think.
Yeah, that whole tax exemption issue, it got very, very muddy when you had the Speaker of the House that I served with. I personally like him philosophically. Mike O'Neill and I are on somewhat the same page on so many issues. But having said that, I was very, very disappointed in House Speaker O'Neill, you know, lobbying, actively lobbying for whoever. It makes no difference when you're talking about the Speaker of the House.
Sure.
There should be a true separation, a clear separation.
Yeah.
And
no,
very inappropriate. Legally, apparently, he was okay legally, but ethically, morally, you just.
And it's not just impropriety, it's the appearance of impropriety. You know, it's just, it's too close for comfort.
It is that, but it's also, you know, as Speaker of the House, he can keep something from being on the agenda. And so if one of his clients for a tax exemption, somebody wanted to put that tax exemption on the agenda to be discussed and debated, he can say no.
Yeah, it was so in your face. You know, he could have smoke screened it. He could have had one of his fellow attorneys and his law firm back in Hutchinson carrying the mail as far as this tax exemption issue. But for him to do it as Speaker of the House, it really, really troubled me.
Yeah, and that is a disappointment that the legislature didn't address that.
Yep.
But as you know, Jim, elected officials are very loath to criticize their own.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
They just know it might come back
and
get it sometime.
Yeah. Unfortunately. Roses and the thorns, you know, as I view the legislative process, the roses, I'll give our legislators a 3, which isn't a very high mark. And the reason I wouldn't give them a very high mark on the budget is because we actually increased government spending on our traditional budget to the tune of $200 million. This was not the year to be increasing spending whatsoever. Yes, we balanced the budget, but we didn't need to pass as large of a tax increase as we passed because, again, we increased government spending in a year that certainly should not have been done. Those are the roses, the thorns. Well, a couple. I think this abortion veto by Governor Parkinson, and again, I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about abortion, other than the fact that this dealt with third trimester abortions. It talked about something that would actually live outside the womb, and I think anything Kansas can do to reduce the number of third trimester abortions, not abortions, but third trimester abortions, we simply need to go and be going about the business of doing that. So once again, we're one of the very few states that's promoting third trimester abortions.
I don't think promoting.
Well, George Tiller, you know, George Tiller was one of a handful of abortionists in this country.
Yes.
That was performing third trimester abortions.
I think it's the word promoting that gets me. He wasn't on the side of a bus, you know, promoting. Hey,
might
come to
well
my clinic.
Well, might as well have been. I don't know. Maybe you're right. But I'm just uncomfortable with the fact that our governor vetoed what appeared to be a responsible piece of legislation. And again, I understand both sides of the abortion issue. When I was in the legislature,
running for re-election, I got endorsed by the pro-life and pro-choice movement, both of which said, hold your nose and vote for this guy, which was true of most of the voters in my district, which is what they were doing when they re-elected me. So, you know, I'm not locked in to a position other than, you know, I believe in the elimination of third trimester abortions, because now we truly are talking about a living being. But that's not the big issue with me. The big one, taking a look at our comprehensive highway transportation plan that passed. I was in the legislature.
I knew that was going to come up.
Absolutely, John, because I was there when the first one passed. It took two special sessions, 2 years that I was in the legislature, to pass a comprehensive highway bill, because, again, we're talking about a lot of money. It took four sessions. This last bill that passed 10 years ago took two sessions, because, again, a lot of money was at play. This group of legislators, which might be the worst assemblage of legislators the state's ever had, passed an $8 billion transportation plan on top of our $13 billion budget without so much as a committee hearing on both sides of the aisle. We have no idea where this money's going, how it's going to be spent. We have turned over $8 billion to our Secretary of Transportation, who is a very competent lady, a regular guest on the show. It certainly is no slam at Deb Miller, which is as good as it gets. But the point being, we have given her a blank check to do whatever she wants to do with the money. That's not the way this should work.
Are we not trusting her to be the expert in where it needs to be spent? And are there not, you know, KDOT public meetings and informational sessions tell us how you want this intersection or that to be repaired and fixed? I mean, the legislature is going to be in session all the time if they're...
Denise, political reality is, when Deb Miller introduced this piece of legislation, she was on the show a month before. You know, when you're introducing a bill such as this, you throw everything in it, including the kitchen sink.
And hope that two-thirds of it gets approved.
It's going to get pared down. Deb Miller didn't expect an $8.2 billion transportation package to pass this year, because I asked her, before the session started, where are we going to go with this? Well, you know, we want to get something in the hopper. We want to get the public thinking about where we need to go for long-term transportation needs. Nothing was said about the passage of this bill. This passed on the last day of the legislative session. And again, there was no attempt to pare this down, no attempt just to make sure that we were spending our money wisely. And again, Deb Miller will do an adequate job. But that's why we have a legislative body, is for the checks and balances, just to ensure the money is going to be spent wisely. Now, looking at our state house renovation that's gone from $90 million to $280 million, I should have thought this one through in terms of adequate checks and balances, which we haven't had. Very disappointing that we would pass an $8 billion budget. No checks or balances in the system whatsoever, just a blank check. This has never happened before in the history of the Kansas legislature, I don't think, to where we have been that fiscally irresponsible. Who wants to start?
Go ahead, John.
John.
Well, I've indicated in the past, Jim, that I think it's important to do transportation and that it generates a fair amount of jobs. And I suspect that that's
part of what they were looking at.
This will do jobs, there's no question. So, and the argument of making an investment over, what is it, a 10-year program?
Bonding is going to be, I believe, the highway improvements are going to be done over a 10-year period. Now, looking at the two previous comprehensive highway plans, John, I think most of the bonds were written over a 10-year period, some, I believe, over a 20-year.
I think we're
still paying off the bonded indebtedness for the first comprehensive highway plan that passed back in 91.
Well, a lot of things get refinanced, you know, depending upon interest rate drops.
Yeah.
But I suspect that these would be 20-year bonds, because that's the most effective time period, and all the road projects are going to last that long, and at least that long. So I suspect 20-year bonding would make sense.
What kind of a grade would you give our legislators for passing this $8.2 billion the last day of the session?
Well, I'm glad they did it, so I suppose I have to give them an A.
Okay. Denise Eck?
B, I'm glad they did it, but you bring up a good point about, you know, waiting until the last day. I mean, you know, what do we spend the other 88, 89 days doing? Back and forth over so many other things. But it will create jobs. I'd like to see something in there, you know, related to Amtrak and getting something like that on board. I think that's pretty exciting for the state.
I do, too. I think that'd be terrific.
So B.
Yeah. Passenger air service. If I was a legislator, of course, I would have been fighting for that because we've got a great terminal. We've got a great setup here in Topeka.
Yeah.
Nobody seems to really have any active hands-on interest in doing much with it. But that's certainly where I would have gone. Amtrak's an excellent point,
sure.
You know, because now we're looking at connecting Kansas City and Dallas and routing it through Topeka.
Sure.
Okay. We've got about 10 minutes. Let's talk about the zoo. Denise Eck, John Arnold are with me.
I was sort of surprised.
Oh, by the way, real quick.
Yes.
Got an email from Myron. It says, tell John my nephew Lance is here in Fort Collins.
Oh, good.
Okay. Now, Denise.
We interviewed city spokesman David Bevins, who seems to believe that the zoo was specifically targeted, that with everything going on at the zoo, that somebody's trying to embarrass the zoo and may know its most vulnerable points, you know, which animals don't have alarms and which gates aren't monitored and that kind of thing. You know, to a certain extent, I think there will always be, you know, pranksters and vandals in a community, but that's what really struck me was that he thought it was, you know, a specific target and possibly trying to embarrass the city. And they found the missing golf cart, and they got a couple of suspects, but certainly embarrassing.
Yeah, I agree with you, Denise. When I read the stories about the fact that the two things that were invaded were without security, I thought, well, we've got some former employees who know their way around,
sure.
And are disgruntled for some reason. The zoo has kind of a history of former employees who are disgruntled trying to embarrass the zoo. And I don't know the genesis of that, frankly, and how it developed, but boy, I'll tell you, some of those former employees can really be nasty about the zoo.
It's interesting. We did some fluffy little story on a weekend where, as my reporter retells it, an employee approached her and said, once the new zoo director comes in, we're excited about maybe the opportunity to get to talk to you because the former director, Mike Coker, would never let us speak and talk, you know, what we really felt about, you know, anything as far as, you know, how the zoo was managed or the care of the animals or whatever they wanted to talk about. They weren't, you know, certainly allowed to. So there was sort of that, hey, you know, a new day is coming with this new director who comes in, I think, pretty soon, maybe first of July or even sooner.
I thought they said he started Monday.
Okay. But,
I don't know.
But it sounds like maybe morale is an issue, and perhaps there will be fewer disgruntled people if they know someone else is in charge and that person does a good job.
Yep.
A lot of pressure, though.
Yeah, now we had some challenges with Mr. Coker as well.
Yes.
Yeah, as far as getting Mr. Coker on the air. And again, the reputation on this show, hopefully, is that when you come on this show, you're going to be treated as a guest, as if you were sitting in my living room. You know, we're not out to nail anybody.
Sure.
We let the guests pretty much tell their side of the story, but we could not get Mr. Coker on the show over the past 2 to 3 years. He just absolutely steadfastly refused to come on, which set up a red flag that maybe things aren't going all that well at our Topeka Zoo.
Yeah.
So far, your relationship with this new director?
Well, we've worked with the interim director when the was it a bobcat? When the bobcat got out, the interim director was very happy to speak to us, very frank about what had happened and what they were doing about it. In fact, we have this sort of funny video clip of our reporter interviewing him, and I'm so embarrassed to say his name escapes me at this moment, but you can see him look away from her and then apologize and run away because some action is happening off in the distance, and that's when they had caught the bobcat, so she was with him at the moment when he's realizing this is coming to an end. But
great film clip. But the fact that
there was the access to him, that he was very frank about, this is what happened, and this is what we're doing about it, and boom, let's go do something about it. With this latest one, I'm not sure if he was unavailable or what the situation was, but the city spokesman, David Bevins, was our contact for that. So we're sort of waiting for the new guy to come in, and we hope to build a good relationship with him.
Denise, I know as a result of Mr. Coker's management, there's been conversations in this community on, A, whether we should continue with a zoo in Topeka, B, what should we do with the elephants? Yeah, so this is going to be interesting to follow this on TV 49.
Sure.
But, you know, the talk as far as doing away with our zoo, that really seems to have died down. The more distance we put between Mr. Coker and our new management, I think that talk appears to be really dying down. Do you agree?
I have not heard much lately, so I would have to agree, and I think it's it's one of the crown jewels of our community. But if financially it's not solvent and we're responsible for poor care of animals, that's terrible, and we need to do something about it.
You bet.
So,
Hey, Dave Jackson's here. We're going to turn the show over to him in just a couple of minutes. But, John, you've got a couple of blogs up on CJ Online.
Yeah.
Buses,
yeah, I
support them, and advice to new grads. I've read both.
Yeah, yeah. Something Denise might want to do with all the discussions about buses, you know, send your reporters out riding a few buses and taking some pictures and showing where they go and what they do.
Okay.
Because, and the people who ride them. And what I tried to say in the blog is that I've ridden them quite a bit lately just to try to find out what all this is about because of my history with buses, and which has been good. And the buses are used quite a bit with an awful lot of people who, it's apparent, could not get around without the bus.
Sure.
And you might have some fun doing that.
Okay. Yeah, we'll look into that.
Okay.
Yeah.
And check out the two blogs, folks. What's coming up on TV 49? John, we'll see you in studio next Friday, my friend.
You got it.
Enjoy
Thanks, guys.
Fort Collins
Good
this
see
weekend.
You. Take care. Bye-bye.
Bye, John.
Coming up on TV 49 this weekend.
Well, because of all the rain, we've had a lot of high school athletics pushed back and pushed back and pushed back, and we expect today it's just going to be a crazy day for baseball and softball, so we're going to have tons of fun with that today. Sunday is the big Lost series finale, so the 10 o'clock news will be on at 10:30.
Well,
but we have some
Ben and Marciana were
promoing
that last night.
Yes, we have some special content planned for Sunday. We believe that people who have never tried us before may try us if they love Lost and they just feel like sticking around and checking out the weather. So we'll be at our best on Sunday.
Great, great. Always fun to have you
in
studio. Denise Heck, by the way, we had visited yesterday. Did you check out a home in Southwest Topeka? I watched last night. I missed the show.
We drove past.
What do you think of that?
I personally have not seen it. Our reporter drove past and said, yeah, it's a monster. But we have not been able to get in contact with the
owner,
who we believe is also involved in real estate, maybe, you know, an agent or a broker or something like that. So we're doing a little more digging.
Okay. It could be quite a story.
But, yeah, we're excited about that one, yeah.
Fun story coming up on TV 49. We'll see you in 3 weeks.
That sounds good. Thank you, Jim.
Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center on deck. Lawn and garden tips. Question from my wife. That's up on emails already.
All right.
Yes, well, it's not all right. But our question just the same. Stay tuned. More to come. I'm Jim Cates.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, we are back. Now that Denise X gone, I didn't want to plug this in front of Denise, but I'm going to be on Ralph Hipp's 4 o'clock news this afternoon.
What for?
WIBW TV 13. I really don't know. Ralph called a couple of days ago, wanted to know if I could come on today at 4 to visit. I have no idea. I think Ralph probably is in a position that I've been in on so many occasions on this show, a last-minute cancellation. God, where do I go to get a guest?
There you go.
Well, I'm sure Jim Cates isn't doing
the ultimate guest.
We can always call on him, yeah.
There you go.
So it's going to be a lot of fun. Ralph is... I like Ralph.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
He really
just
is.
He really is. Good,
he
straight
is
guy.
A good guy. Yep. Is he living in Topeka now? Do you know?
I don't know where he is.
I know he left Topeka for a while and went to Nashville.
Yeah.
His wife had a heck of a job in Nashville. And now he's back in Topeka and has really become an icon as far as the news industry
sure.
in Northeast Kansas. So, good guy.
Good morning, Dave Jackson.
Morning.
It is a good morning. We're going to have sun later today.
That's what they say.
It's about
looks
time.
Like, yeah.
It's
about been a while.
Oh,
it's been
boy.
A while.
Yes, indeed. As a result of this rain, I know that Annette touched on it in Annette's tips this week. Now we've got to be concerned about disease.
Mm-hmm.
I thought rain, this was a good thing.
It is.
But now we're looking at another challenge out there.
Because
too much rain.
And brings that humidity and this warm weather, and we're liable to get an outbreak of a number of different diseases, depending on whether you're talking about your garden or your lawn. And for the garden, of course, it can be leaf rusts and leaf blight and septoria leaf spot and all of that on your tomatoes, on your peppers, even on your potatoes even can get rust and speckles and blight and that kind of stuff.
This early?
Yeah, well, coupled with this warm weather that's coming, tomorrow they say it's going to be in the 80s. Well, you get to the 80s and nighttime temperatures in the 60s, high 60s, then you've got, you're all set up, plus the moisture, you're all set up for disease. Brown patch in your fescue lawn, although it's a bit early, could also rear its ugly head if depending on the weather next week. And I mentioned that, but with fungal diseases, prevention is much less expensive, much more easy than trying to cure a fungal disease. It's just the nature of the beast. So we promote preventing disease more so than on insects, for example. Timing is important because you have to kill the insects. Spraying ahead now because we don't have any of those chemicals that last a long time it doesn't help. It's no good to put spray on before that egg is hatched for that insect, that bagworm, for example.
Okay, so obviously it's going to take a different type of fungicide for your tomato plants than it is for your fescue.
Not necessarily. There is one that does, the Fertilome Broad Spectrum will do both.
Oh, okay. Okay.
As a disease preventer in both lawns and your gardens. It's labeled. It's got a label. You pull it out from the bottle, and it's about a yard long, all the things that you can treat with. It's the Fertilome Landscape and Garden in fungicide is the
does name. It all.
Pretty much does it all. Yeah.
Really?
Now, and that is as a preventer on lawn diseases. It's not nearly as effective after the fact if you let that lawn disease get established. Brown patch we're talking about mostly. But it can be used as a preventer.
Okay, once you've got brown patch, once you've got the speckled tomato leaves, then what? Don't use the broad spectrum?
Well, on the tomato leaves, you're going to have to continue to use that because outside of Man-Eb and your Daconil, there's not a lot of other fungicides that are labeled for use on vegetables. You just have to keep using it. But on your grasses, if you're going to need to move up to the systemic product containing Banner, for example, or one of our granular fungicides that is also systemic, you need to step up your rate. If you don't get it prevented, then you're going to move on to a little more expensive chemical.
Okay. Are you saying as a result of this rain, Dave Jackson, and it appears that we're going to have more rain coming in next Tuesday, possibly another round of 4 or 5 days of showers, that we should automatically be doing this anyway as far as this broad spectrum fungicide spray, or is there something that we should be looking for first in terms of early warning signs?
Well, the early warning signs are basically the temperatures. The moisture's present. The next thing that we have to look at is temperatures, whether or not we're going to have temperatures high enough for those spores to develop and start moving through. The warning sign also is if you had it last year, you're going to have it this year. And I'm talking brown patch. And or your early blight on your tomatoes. It's there unless it's there. You're going to have it. So it's all a matter of putting all of the conditions together in the prime. We've got everything right now but the temperatures.
So if you've had it, it's coming back this year.
No question.
Based on the weather conditions that we've experienced over the past 30 days or so. It is coming back.
And if we continue to have them, yeah. Now, if it turns hot and dry next week after this round of rains, you might not get it. I mean, if it's really hot, really dry.
But if the rain hit again next Tuesday or Wednesday,
right, then it doesn't appear like it's going to be that way. It looks like we have more chance than not, that you're going to have that disease.
Okay. All right. So, folks, again, fescue, tomatoes, vegetables.
Vegetables.
What about zoysia, Bermuda? Well, nothing kills Bermuda.
You really don't have to worry about that much in either zoysia or Bermuda right now. There's a couple other diseases, but those normally, those diseases hit if you've got zoysia that's been impacted by too much we call it thatch. They'll be the ones that display the disease. So if you've controlled your thatch, then you don't have a disease pressure. If you're not controlling your thatch, you probably will have disease pressures. And if you haven't been paying attention, then you probably won't notice the disease much either until it's way too late.
Okay, well, I haven't done anything with thatch. Now, when should you start treating zoysia, the thatch challenge?
This summer. As soon as it warms up, then you just...
Too early now.
We've had cool weather. They're not. It's not as effective as it would be if you wait another month.
Okay, now, treating your zoysia thatch problem means what? Not raking.
No,
this is a chemical application.
You can do physical application, which is core aeration, where you go out and rent the core aerator and run over that thing three or four times and pull all those little cigar plugs up. Or we have the product from Fertilome that's an all-natural organic soil activator, it's called, which put down as a granule then breaks down that thatch and turns it into soil underneath so that you don't have the thatch. You can do that with it's an all-natural humic acid product that converts the thatch to actually a source of fertilizer and organic matter for your lawn.
Won't burn the zoysia.
No burning. No, it's all just natural.
Okay, so there's...
You could do it either way.
Okay, now what's this product called?
Soil activator, I believe, is what Fertilome's currently calling it.
Soil activator, folks, if you have a zoysia lawn.
Natural Guard, actually. Natural Guard is one of the Fertilome brands.
Okay, part of our lawn is zoysia.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been this way for 10, 12 years. We've never done anything other than mow.
Mm-hmm.
And it's green as green can be, thick as thick can be. But again, going without any kind of a treatment over a 12-year period, it's probably time to do something as far as using the soil activator.
Probably is, because if you take your pocket knife and cut a square and you find that half to three-quarters or more inch of thatch above the soil line, then you know that disease is on its way.
Okay.
Just weak plants and disease is inevitably going to be followed.
Okay. Now, is the soil activator available at both Jackson locations?
Yes, better be. I hope. I'll be going out there after the show. If it's not out there, I'll be bringing it out for sure.
All right.
That's a good question.
And
always with the good questions, Jim.
And again, we're talking about the original Jackson's, 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road. The new Jackson's location, 61st and Fairlawn, and I had a listener that contacted me Monday that heard us talking about Jackson's, the new location. And I was talking about the sheer beauty of the place. They went out, ended up buying a couple of tomato plants or something, but went out just to look at the beauty of this place, contacted me Monday, and they said everything you described, it was absolutely as described. One of the most beautiful businesses in Shawnee County is the new Jackson's White Barn location. Folks, if you haven't been out to 61st and Fairlawn, you got to check this place out. It is just breathtakingly beautiful. No other way to describe it.
Well, thank you. Lynn and Cindy do a great job taking care of that property.
Oh, they do a wonderful job.
Yep.
Just absolutely gorgeous. Okay, so Jackson's, the new location, 3 days a week, Fridays, yep. Saturdays, Sundays.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, very good. So, folks, check it out this weekend. We need to take a break. If you have a question or a comment, jim.cates@cjonline.com, jim.cates@cjonline.com. When we return, I'm going to be reading an email from my wife.
Okay.
Yes, indeed. Stay tuned. More to come.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Eyewear Unique is a fun, upscale optical shop located in Topeka. They may be in mid-America, but their frame selection is world-class. The expert staff will help you into your first really awesome pair of high-quality eyewear. Their designer frame selection will hold its own against the finest shops in New York or L.A. Eyewear Unique is not just another optical shop. They are truly new and different. They are not interested in selling you a pair of glasses. They're interested in selling you eyeglasses for the rest of your life. Your face is a work of art, and it deserves a great frame. Eyewear Unique offers top-of-the-line designer frames with names like Etnia, Barcelona, Lunor, Robert Mark, LA Eyeworks, Bevel Specs, Freudenhaus, Oliver Peoples, Ray-Ban, and Oakley, just to name a few. The frames run from stylish and affordable $90 eyewear to the extraordinary Fossa Foss line, located at 4008 Southwest Huntoon Street in Topeka, or visit them on the web at eyewearuniquetopeka.com.
Take your face to the next level.
Eyewear Unique. Eyewear for life.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, we are back, and with Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. And again, it had nothing to do with him promoting another show. Now we'll finish our conversation on air that we were having off air.
Uh-huh.
We're talking about TK Magazine.
Right.
Still up and running, or you think it's been sold?
I thought I heard that he'd turned it over to different management, but I don't know that.
I'm not sure. I haven't heard from Kevin. Kevin used to be a regular guest. Kevin
mm-hmm.
Dole,
mm-hmm.
the editor and publisher of TK Magazine, used to be a regular guest on this show, and we haven't had Kevin on in, my gosh, 4 or 5, 6 months, and I know the magazine was going through a transformation then. I don't know.
I don't either.
Good question.
But that all emanated from the fact that we're trying to get our website up and operating again for the first time in about 10 years and moving forward to join the 21st century.
Well, good. That explains my wife's email because it says, please ask Dave about Palm Tree. The Jackson's website doesn't seem to work. Well, that's mm-hmm. because right now there is no Jackson's website.
Right. We've just got a placeholder in there for it. You know, that's... Just a placeholder is all we have in there.
Okay. But within a month, possibly you're going to have a website up and running.
We should. That's the goal.
Okay. Very good. Let's talk about palm trees. You mentioned these, unfortunately, a couple of 3 weeks ago on
yep.
the show. Nancy wants a palm tree.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what are we going to do with a palm tree? Let's talk about palm trees.
What are you going to do with one?
I don't know. I don't ask questions. I just write the checks.
Yeah. I see.
All right.
Well,
now,
that's good.
It could be better at times.
Well, when you get it, you're going to have to transplant it because it's so tall. These are 8 to 10 feet tall, and they're in a pot that will certainly blow over if you tried to just set the pot out on the patio or whatever. You mentioned trying to plant it. You can certainly plant it in the ground. I would put it in a bigger pot and plant pot and all in the ground so that you can lift it in the fall and take it in if that's what you're bent.
Where am I going to take it in, too, if it's 8 to 10 feet tall?
I don't know, the master bedroom, Jim? I don't know. You don't
do you
have
all,
a,
you do you all pick up and deliver palm trees?
We do.
So you would store it over the winter. Mm-hmm. You've got a place to store a 10-foot palm tree.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We do that all the time for people. One of your Capital City Oil, Marvin Spies.
Marvin Spies.
We do it for him. We do it for John Pinniger, which you know John. Uh-huh. Pinniger is a lobbyist here in town. We do it.
Now, are they growing palm trees indoors or outdoors?
These are for their patio and stuff when they take them home, I presume.
Really?
But actually, most of...
Now, John Pinniger's net worth, Marvin Spies' net worth, would be a,
maybe just
a little more than...
Yeah, that's the thing, right?
What is this going to cost us to buy a palm tree? Hey, what do the palm trees sell for?
Well,
why are you marketing palm trees? Let's go through the story.
The story was that I've, at the last truck, the races, the last set of races at Kansas City, some folks out of North Carolina called me and asked me to rent them some palm trees for the races, for the VIP tents, which I had a good price, and they agreed. And so these palm trees came in to me from Florida, direct from Florida, and I delivered them over, and then I picked them up. And so now I've got, 50 palm trees that have been rented once that would normally sell for around $70 to $90, and I've got them for sale for $39.
Yeah.
Just to move them out, because I really don't need 50 palm trees in the greenhouse. They take up a lot of room. So that's the story, and so that's why we have the palm trees, and that's why we're going to try to sell them.
Okay. But 50 palm trees. Mm-hmm. Now for sale. Palm trees are selling for...
$39.99. It's in a 12-inch pot. They're 8 feet tall.
$39.99. 8 feet tall. All right. Now, delivery.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we're taking this palm tree home.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to plant it. It's got to be back up out of the ground into your greenhouse when?
How Most time, mid-October.
Mid-October. Okay. Mm-hmm. And then come mid-April?
Depending on what kind of risk you want to take, you know that it's 50% mid-April. It's 100% right now that you're not going to have frost, pretty much 100%. Matter of fact, I've driven into the show today. I've got two bird of paradise that I'm delivering to some folks after the show. Bird of paradise is a great big tropical. They're at least 10 feet tall. There's a pair of them, and I'm taking them out to Ed Balda's place after. And I don't even know exactly where I'm going, but I got to get a hold of them because they're on the back of the truck. So we're headed there after, on the way out to the White Barn Nursery. So anyway.
Okay.
And we didn't take them earlier. We could have taken them in May, but or first week of May, but we had that big wind come through and everything. Would have been really damaging. And those cold temperatures, first week of May, we had it down the temperatures in the high 30s.
So bird of paradise, these are going to be planted temporarily during the summer.
I don't know what he's going to do with them. I mean, they've got to go in some kind of a great big huge... If he's not going to plant them, they've got to go in some kind of big urn or something that's not going to blow over because they're huge. They take up the whole back end of that Hino truck that you've seen me drive.
Yeah, yeah. Now, delivery and pickup of a palm tree.
Mm-hmm.
Again, I'm trying to put a hand. What's this going to cost me, this latest venture of my wife? $39.99 for the palm tree. That's not bad.
Right.
But for you to bring it out, delivery charge.
It's going to be... If I do it when I'm doing other trees, we make a route, and I charge just not near enough, but I charge $20 to deliver it.
Okay.
And pick it up is $20 if you can't.
Really?
Get it out to us, yeah. Now, Marvin, of course, has a big truck. He brings all his stuff out. He practically brings a truckload out when he comes.
Yeah, yeah.
But he takes care of his own delivery. But last week, earlier this week, no, it was earlier this week, I'd deliver a Monstrosa philodendron. The pot is a 26-inch pot. We have to tie it together to get it to, you know, so it doesn't.
Yeah.
I mean, it truly, when we set it out, it's easily 3/4 the size of this room on their lady's patio.
Really?
It is
now, this
huge.
Room, folks, is what, roughly 10 by?
It's 12 by 18.
This room's 12 by 18.
Mm-hmm.
This pot sits...
It's at least 8 by 8, 9 by 9, something like that.
The pot, what's it made of?
I mean, the pot. No, it's plastic. The pot is a 26-inch pot. But the plant comes out and covers an expanse of 8 by 8 or 9 by 9 when you lay it out there.
Good night. So a 26-inch pot, that's going to be the size of a small kitchen table, a little smaller maybe.
Right, right.
Okay.
Well, and that's a heavy
the sheer number. Weight now, a 26-inch pot, how deep?
About the same depth.
26 mm-hmm. inches.
Mm-hmm.
So that's a lot of weight right there.
Yeah, fortunately, of course, getting it off the truck, I got gravity assisting me. And it's on the
getting it back on the truck.
I have a date with the truck repair guy to put me a lift gate on this fall because that plant nearly killed me last spring. Last fall when I loaded it.
I would think so. Okay.
I mean that you really have to. I've had one hernia operation. I probably don't need another.
No, you don't. Dave Jackson, if somebody is going to buy one of these palm trees, I want to come back to the palms.
Here we go.
$39.99, uh-huh. Folks. Bargain. Except what do you do with it after you've got it? Especially if you're thinking about planting it outdoors, which apparently we are. How deep of a hole do we need to dig, A, and how much of a problem is it going to be to get it back out of the ground this fall, B? In other words, how deep are these roots going to go?
Well, they're not going to have, in your soil, they're not going to have a chance to go a whole lot deeper, but you're going to need, your hole's going to need to be roughly 18 inches deep, probably. 12 to 18. It's not going to be all that deep.
That's not
necessary.
Bad.
Huh?
A strong wind, wouldn't it blow it over?
Well, it shouldn't. If you've got it in that larger pot, and if you've got it in that down in the soil, it'd be pretty rough for it to blow it over. Kind of.
I think to solve my problem, maybe if Nancy drank a little less wine.
Maybe that's it. Maybe so.
That would help, Lord. Okay, jim.cates@cjonline.com.
Is this going in your front yard then?
I don't know. Hopefully it's not going to go anywhere. But
well, we'll
hopefully
see.
This is one sale you won't make.
Oh, no. I've been counting on that.
jim.cates@cjonline.com if you get a question or a comment. And Terrence says, Dave, is there a spray that will kill the moth that creates the tomato worm? If not, is there a netting that can be put over the plants to prevent the moth from getting to the plant? Good question.
Yeah, it is a good question. It really is. And yes, there is netting that can be used, and it would keep that moth that lays the tomato hornworm is huge. It's 3 to 4 inches across. It looks practically like a hummingbird. It's a pretty thing, very pretty. But the problem is, of course, that those, unless you get the spray directly on that sucker, in other words, you're out there with the spray when that moth is present, he's not feeding. He's just depositing eggs on your leaves. So it isn't eating anything. So that your chance of killing it with the spray is dependent upon whether you can hit it with the spray.
The netting, what good would the netting do then if the moth has already laid the egg?
Well, it doesn't. I mean, you got to have the net out there before that thing can get near it. And
okay, when is the moth going to get near it? At what point in time in the spring do these moths start?
Typically, you don't see those moths start until the end of June, 1st of July.
So there's still time.
Right. Oh, there's plenty
of netting.
Time. Mm-hmm.
So this would be a special type of netting.
It's Ross makes a net, a protective net. As to keep bird netting for your cherry trees, you can get a big piece of that. You can glob it over your cherry trees, or we have the vegetable netting that keeps rabbits away. Or in this case, it's going to be his tomatoes. I presume his tomatoes are going to be in cages, and then he'd simply wrap the net around the cage, and that would keep that moth out because it is big.
Let the sunshine in.
Right, let the sunshine in. Keep the
predators
big
out.
Old, yeah. Mm-hmm. It's vegetable netting.
Okay.
And it can be used for many years. I mean, it's not something you'd use 1 year and throw away.
Okay.
Piece.
So just roll it up at the end of the season.
Right.
And bring it back out the next spring.
Yeah, roll it up, fold it up, or whatever. Put it in a plastic bag and put it in your garage.
Okay. Any areas of the community we should be using netting as opposed to other areas? In other words, if you're more urbanized, you're going to have less predators, I would think.
Well,
where are you?
You still have rabbits and squirrels all over town.
I guess so, yeah.
On
yeah,
your vegetables. And we sell a fair amount of that stuff. The cherry trees are the people most get excited about is the birds attacking their cherry trees. Just the like 3 days before they're ready to pick. You think you're going to have a beautiful cherry crop, and all of a sudden a swarm of blackbirds will come take your cherries away.
Yeah. So that's where the netting comes into play, you know, if you're serious about your cherry trees. Okay. We need to take a break real quick, but another question, and this has come up on several occasions over the past week. I am not a fan of snakes.
I didn't gather that.
Are you hearing more about snakes this year than you have in years past? It seems like I've talked to more people. A, there was one in my next-door neighbor's yard. B, a yard across the street and down a house. They've seen a snake this year. I haven't seen a snake in our yard, and I don't know when, nor have our neighbors. But then we were talking to another avid golfer that said he's seen four snakes this year, to where he can't remember the last time he saw a snake on a golf course.
Mm-hmm.
Another friend of ours in his retirement is mowing, and he said he's run over a half a dozen snakes this year, normally hits one or two during the course of the summer. Are you hearing?
Yeah, we're hearing more comments about snakes, for sure. And
why? Why this year?
Well, we've had a good, long, kind of cool, wet spring. So they're slower to move up, and they're out of their crevices, and so they're more visible because we're out there as they're moving out. I think so. We're seeing them. They're moving a little slower right now because it is colder, so you do see them because they're not. They move. Their speed is directly reflected by the temperature.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
So I would presume it's because they're late to get out, and we're doing more activities in the yard. They're more visible and more present. I don't know that we've had a bigger hatch. That's a possibility as well. You'd have to contact your local herpetologist for that, and who that is, I'm not altogether sure, but that would.
But you're hearing more snake stories this spring than you have in years past.
Selling more snake away, yeah.
Yeah.
We have a granule that keeps the snakes out, except for the one snake that you really do want to keep out, which is the copperhead. The snake away is not effective on pit vipers, which are rattlers and copperheads.
Well, I don't care what kind of a snake it is.
Black
snakes, copperheads, garden snakes, they're all the same to me.
Well, copperhead's the only one that can hurt you.
Well, I don't like it.
There are a couple of rattlers around, but you don't see those. They'll hide from you.
Yeah. They're all bad.
No.
Now, snake away, is it going to harvest? Are we harvesting snakes?
No, snake away is just
killing them?
Snake away is
just...
Just keeps them over on your neighbor's side.
It's just a repellent.
Mm-hmm. It's a repellent, repellent.
Okay. So if we're interested in saving the snakes, and just repelling them and running them somewhere else, snake away is what you would use. What do you have that's a little stronger for people like me that want to make sure the neighbor's not going to be bothered by this snake either?
Well, I've got a gun dealer that rents one of my buildings. You'd have to blast them, I think. I don't know what. I don't really. Honestly.
So there's no chemical application that's going to harvest snakes.
Well, they're not eating anything that you can poison for them to eat.
Okay.
And I don't know of any bait that they're going to be interested in. They like live mice and big insects and that kind of stuff. But that's what they eat. So unless you got a mouse you've got that's poisoned, I guess.
So anything we can do to eliminate reduce insects in our yard. Mm-hmm. That's going to reduce the possibility of
snakes. Or rodents,
as well.
Preferably eliminate. Get the voles and moles and stuff out of your yard.
Yeah.
Voles especially. Snakes love voles.
Yeah. I don't think we have any. Yeah.
What, voles?
Yeah.
Lots of voles this year. People have really complained about voles, which we've talked about, I think, a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's talk about that when we return.
Okay.
And we need to get into some of the weekend specials as
well. Yeah, we need to talk about that.
Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. Folks, stay tuned. More to come. I'm Tim Cates.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center.
Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Eyewear Unique is a fun, upscale optical shop located in Topeka. They may be in mid-America, but their frame selection is world-class. The expert staff will help you into your first really awesome pair of high-quality eyewear. Their designer frame selection will hold its own against the finest shops in New York or L.A. Eyewear Unique is not just another optical shop. They are truly new and different. They are not interested in selling you a pair of glasses. They are interested in selling you eyeglasses for the rest of your life. Your face is a work of art, and it deserves a great frame. Eyewear Unique offers top-of-the-line designer frames with names like Etnia, Barcelona, Lunor, Robert Mark, LA Eyeworks, Bevel Specs, Feuchtenhouse, Oliver Peoples, Ray-Ban, and Oakley, just to name a few. The frames run from stylish and affordable $90 eyewear to the extraordinary Fossa Foss line, located at 4008 Southwest Huntoon Street in Topeka, or visit them on the web at eyewearuniquetopeka.com.
Take your face to the next level.
Eyewear Unique. Eyewear for life.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Okay, we are back. Yeah, we were off for about a minute and a half.
Sorry.
No, we've got I've got a medical challenge with my father.
Uh-oh.
And that was a phone call that came in while we were on break. And at 95, you never know what to expect.
True.
So just wanted to check to make sure there was nothing that serious. And the news was fairly good. So
good.
Dave Jackson, Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. Jim.Cates@CJOnline.com. If you've got a question or a comment, you can always email us. We would love to hear from you. Let's talk about your specials coming up this weekend.
Flat special. We got the flat special. That's the main one, $16.99 for a flat of 48 plants. It's everything that's in a 1204. You can mix vegetables with flowers. You can mix the annual herbs that are in the 1204s as well. Petunias and patience, ageratum, verbena, periwinkle, all of those beautiful annuals that you need for your annual beds if you still have some, or for your pots as well. A low-cost way to really make some beautiful color. And of course, most all of our product is homegrown. We sometimes run out of a few items and bring in from another local Kansas greenhouse. And then get them right out on our out in our greenhouse and over to the White Barn. I've got some stuff on the truck right now, headed that direction. and as soon as I do those, get those bird of paradise taken to where they go. We do have Memorial Day coming up, of course, and peonies.
That's a week from Monday.
Yes, a week from Monday. We will be open at the greenhouse 9 to 3, and I'm planning on the White Barn being open the same time. We can...
That would be a big day for you, I would think.
Well, it kind of is. It depends. It all depends on what, whether it's a good planting day, whether people have had their gardens in or not. It can be a quiet day. It just kind of depends. Last year it was a huge day. We were just swamped. Had to close the gates and keep people from storming in after 3 o'clock. So it... But we like to get off early on holidays, my wife and I, and go home and do a little bit of enjoying with the family, having our barbecue and that kind of stuff. So anyway, $5.99 a dozen for peonies, which is a bargain. We've got a local grower that provides it for us on a share basis. Of course, our Memorial Day boxes, they're making them up as I speak right now, fresh, beautiful. So much prettier than you see at the box stores where they've just taken 3 or 4 plants and stuffed them in a box and call it a Memorial Day box. These are designed. You've got between 10 and 20 bedding plants in there in a color design. They're just gorgeous. And they start at $9.99 and go on up to $29.99 or more if you want to spend the money. The good thing about it is last year I took one out to my dad's grave, and we had enough moisture. Left it on the grave. It's out at the Grantville Cemetery. It was still there and still pretty in September, Labor Day, when we came back to clean up the gravesite. Mm-hmm. So really a fine memory. We do have, just need to mention it real briefly, we do have backtow soil. We have some people that still use backtow soil, and to my knowledge, we're about the only people that carry it. It's a Backtow is a potting soil brand that came from the Michigan Peat Company.
Yeah, okay.
And
we talked about this last weekend. Mm,
did we?
Yeah.
Okay.
Briefly, we talked about potting soil and peat.
Right, and we use the Fertiloam soil. The product from Lambert's is the name, and so they're. But Backtow is a brand that some people are familiar with, and we still carry it. Got in a pallet. 2 pallets this fall, so or this spring. Anyhow, you can still throw out some grass seed if you need to. You can still kill crabgrass if you need to with the products, the Dimension products from Fertiloam and High Yield, either with or without fertilizer, and either with or without broadleaf weed control killer on top of it as well. So we've got 5 different products can be used. Yet, if you haven't done anything for your lawn and you don't want crabgrass to dominate in this later this summer, because it's, believe you me, it's coming with all this moisture we've had. If you've had crabgrass before, you're going to have way more of it this year. Now, if you've been crabgrass free with and been on your Fertiloam program for a while, then you don't have to worry about it. It's just one of those things.
Okay. I think I'm going to be in fairly good shape because we've had a Fertiloam treatment, and it doesn't appear that crabgrass is going to be in our future.
Well,
hopefully. To any great extent. But as you say, we certainly have had the moist, wet weather that would lend itself to crabgrass growth.
Right. Probably won't have sod because they have not been able to cut it. I don't know. I'll call him after the show here and see if he can, if he's going to be able to cut any late this afternoon so we'd have fresh for tomorrow or whether maybe even tomorrow morning. If it dries up enough, maybe he can cut it, and we'll have if it's harvestable, we'll have it. I don't know how waterlogged his fields are. Obviously, you can't cut sod in the mud; it just doesn't work.
Yeah, and folks, on sod, that's at the original Jackson's location only, 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road, and it's always good to call first.
Absolutely.
So 232-3416.
There you go.
232-3416. Folks, if you have an interest in sod, because Jackson's is one of the very, very, very few places you can buy sod in Shawnee County, but check it out first.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it's not at the Jackson's White Barn location, 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road. but call first. 232-3416. Right.
Okay.
We need to take another break.
Another quick break.
We need to do that. Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center. Stay tuned. More to come.
Jackson's Greenhouse, your plant shopping center. Let Jackson put a big smile on your home. Landscape planning and design, we listen and we take the time. We're professionals and we're out to make it known. We're your plant shopping center all the way. Jackson's Greenhouse has what you need today. Residential or commercial, we're at your service. Landscape to lawn supplies that you like best. From roses, flowers, shrubs, and trees to everything your garden needs, Jackson says just come in, be our guest. Jackson's Greenhouse, your lawn and garden place. We're your plant shopping center all the way. At Jackson's Greenhouse, we're out to make your day.
Hi, I'm Richard Roundtree. I'm a breast cancer survivor. Yes, you heard me right. Men get breast cancer too, and men need just as much help understanding what their doctors tell them as women do. But where do you go to get that kind of help? Go to breastcancer.org, a special place on the internet that helps you understand the kind of cancer you have, your treatment options, and all the big words your doctor uses. Breastcancer.org is the first place to go the minute you find out you have breast cancer.
Eyewear Unique is a fun, upscale optical shop located in Topeka. They may be in mid-America, but their frame selection is world-class. The expert staff will help you into your first really awesome pair of high-quality eyewear. Their designer frame selection will hold its own against the finest shops in New York or L.A. Eyewear Unique is not just another optical shop. They are truly new and different. They are not interested in selling you a pair of glasses. They are interested in selling you eyeglasses for the rest of your life. Your face is a work of art, and it deserves a great frame. Eyewear Unique offers top-of-the-line designer frames with names like Etnia, Barcelona, Lunor, Robert Mark, LA Eyeworks, Bevel Specs, Freudenhaus, Oliver Peoples, Ray-Ban, and Oakley, just to name a few. The frames run from stylish and affordable $90 eyewear to the extraordinary Fossa Foss line, located at 4008 Southwest Huntoon Street in Topeka, or visit them on the web at eyewearuniquetopeka.com.
Take your face to the next level.
Eyewear Unique. Eyewear for life.
This is Risa with Lauer Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning. We are not just your heating and air conditioning experts. We also can take care of any of your plumbing needs, including sewers and backflow preventers. So call us now at 357-5123.
Welcome back to Jim Cates at CJOnline.com. Our phone lines are now open at 295-1150 or email Jim at jim.cates@cjonline.com. Here's Jim.
Hey, Dave Jackson, if you don't mind, I need to give a plug to a business that's going to open next Tuesday as their soft opening in North Topeka. We're talking about Dickie's Barbecue.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, it's going to be on Northwest Highway 24. Dave Wenrick is the owner, good friend. In fact, I have coffee with Dave a couple of times a week and early in the mornings. And Dickie's Barbecue, it's going to be in front of where the old Coffee Break Cafe used to sit, Madon Raton.
Right.
And Madon has the Holiday Inn Express Motel that's going to be opening in the very near future. Don't have a date certain, but it's coming in the very near future. And this is going to be a tremendous addition, as you well know, for North Topeka.
It will. Yep. It certainly
will.
Betcha. So, anyway.
You've been a great supporter of North Topeka over the years. You've got a lot of things going on downtown North Topeka, I know.
Oh, man, do we. Oh, boy. We really got stuff going over there. We've, anyway, we've got, today we're planting 16 big red sunset maples in front of the Dillon store, which is getting to the final stages of its renovation. You know, they doubled the size of that store over there in North Topeka.
Yeah.
And it's huge. My goodness, it's huge. But anyway, so today we, because of the increase in the square footage of the store, the points that the city requires, points for landscape thing increased, and so we had to, we planted a bunch of barberry around the store last fall, and now we're planting the shade trees, 16 of them today, hopefully, and get that going, and then we'll be renovating all of the islands over there in front of the store for the grand opening, which is going to be reopening or whatever they want to call it, is going to be sometime in mid to late June, it looks like. They'd planned on it by Mother's Day weekend this spring, but that just didn't pan out. I mean, it's a huge endeavor to double the size of a store and keep that store open. They're moving product back and forth, and from one day to the next, you just don't even know where you're going to find your soda pop.
Well, we went through this with our Dillon store, 29th and Urich, mm-hmm. because they doubled the size of it
mm-hmm.
over, I don't know, a six-month period or
right.
so.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, and they kept the store open while they were doubling the size of it.
Right.
Quite an undertaking indeed.
It is. It yeah. really is. You just can't imagine all of the changes behind the scenes that go on. I attended a few of the weekly progress meetings with the construction, and the logistics is just over the top almost. It's just
yeah.
to keep that store running.
Anyway. Wonder if that's the highest volume store now for Shawnee County would be the Dillon's out on Rochester and 24 Highway.
Well, I'll ask the manager the next time I see him how his store stacks up with the rest of them. I'll just do that.
Yeah, it's going to stack up very favorably with 29th and Urich because of this roundabout construction
mm-hmm.
right now, and it's very difficult to get to the Dillon's and 29th and Urich, which we make every attempt to do so.
Sure.
Because Dillon's has been such a good community partner.
They are
We've
good.
Got an event going on in Sherwood. They donate the hot dogs for our 4th of July hot dog feed, and just a great community partner.
Right.
Good neighbor.
Mm-hmm.
So
for you guys, they've been, and for us as well.
Yeah.
They just are. And but anyway, so also in North Topeka, my 820 North Kansas, my left bank room reception hall has been rented and has become a kind of a nightclub starting the 1st of May. And they have a liquor license. They have music on Friday and Saturday night. And I think it's called the Hunter Club or something like that. Mario Wilkerson is the proprietor, and he played for the Coyotes until this past year.
Oh, okay.
He was one of the D-backs for the Coyotes.
Okay.
A local guy, young, aggressive, intelligent black guy that has a lot of contacts in the community and was able to get through the bureaucracy to get a dance license, get a liquor license, and get an after-hours license. There's three licenses required if you're going to stay up, if you're going to have dancing, if you're going to have liquor, and you're going to have...
Now, what type of a club? Appealing to who?
Mostly probably appealing to the upper echelon of the black community.
Mm-hmm.
They have some real good talented people come in that they book and bring in from Kansas City and that kind of stuff. So he's seems to have a plan and confident that it'll work. Has the contacts and it's safe, be secure. There'll be 3 to 4 security guards there to make sure everything stays up and up. And anyway, the Rooster Tail, they're also there in North Topeka, run by the Guerreros, has just had phenomenal success on the weekends. I'm told they, as the night grows later, they fill up and you can't get in there until somebody comes out. You know, the fire marshal.
Now, where's the Rooster Tail?
That was the Guerreros Club before it was Guerreros before. It's 2 doors down from my place.
Okay, I was thinking they were same block.
Mm-hmm. Same block.
Okay.
Of course, the Rooster Tail is in the building that was the first building for Payless Shoe Source.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That's where the owner started out, in North Topeka.
Poses?
Yeah.
Really?
That was called Posies, and it was a little department store, complete with a mezzanine and a second floor. And, of course, they've made it a beautiful facility in there. Beautiful.
Well, I'll be. I did not know that.
Right.
That's where the Posies got their start.
Yep.
Wow, that would have been back in the 30s, 40s?
40s. Yeah, after the flood.
In fact, there's a paper on North Peak of the Garfield Gazette.
Right, that the Natoma puts out, right.
Okay, yeah, that covers a lot of this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure there's been articles in there. I don't get the Gazette anymore. I used to, and I don't get it anymore.
I'll be darned.
Yeah. I know you were going to do something. Bruce and Doris Finney.
Right.
Gave me a copy of a newspaper back in the late 1800s, and I think you're going to do something in the Garfield Gazette on that paper.
Yeah. Try to. I've got it there,
yeah.
and when we get past spring, maybe then I'll have some time to do it.
So. Yeah, it's a fun paper to read, yeah, because I know you always get into historical events, you know, that occurred back in North Topeka.
Right.
Yeah, the start of the Posies, Payless Shoes.
Mm-hmm. Right there in North Topeka, same as, of course,
Fowley's. I had no idea.
Well, you knew Fowley started out in North Topeka. They had a little store in the 1600 block of North Topeka, just a little mom-and-pop store, which emanated into the Fowley's and then Food for Less. I mean, they were huge until he sold out.
Yeah.
That was
Lou Fowley, I never knew.
Bert and Lou Fowley were the two brothers that ran it. And that was. And then their cousin, Lou Fowley, spelled L-E-W, was a produce deal, and he provided the produce for the stores to begin with. He had a farm out in North Topeka there next to where his farmstead was where, finally, the Volume Shoe place was.
Oh, really?
You know, the warehouse out there.
Yeah.
So anyway, that's all North Topeka history. We do have NOTO. North Topeka Arts District is on its way. We are in the process of picking artists and getting them ready to move into some repair and some loft apartments. We project our first occupancy to be in late summer. Over there.
That's going to
be the beginning of an art district. Yes.
Wow.
Yes, yes, yes.
I mean, things are on the move.
Yeah, I hope.
That is cool.
Now, if they want to kill downtown, all they have to do is put in that little two-lane street and the winding road that they're talking about, and that'll be the death. That will absolutely be the death. I cannot imagine these people have ever seen one that's been successful.
Well, Rick Anderson did write about one.
Yes, he did.
Yeah, and Hutchison.
Right.
To give Hutchison credit, apparently, somehow they've made it work, but, you know, we pointed out three examples on the show. Wyandotte County, KCK, Kansas City, Kansas,
right.
Because I grew up in the Kansas City, Missouri area.
Right.
I was there back in the 70s when they took a thriving Minnesota Avenue down to two lanes of traffic and it just absolutely killed Minnesota Avenue. Parsons did the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Shut off their downtown area to create this pedestrian mall, killed downtown Parsons. And then John Arnold pointed out Atchison.
Right. Atchison was the one I was going to mention.
Yeah. But Rick Anderson said, you know, it has worked in Hutchison. So, at any rate, I hope what downtown Topeka does, they'll take a look at the successes out there. There's going to be some. But also take a look at the failures.
And why.
And why. Exactly. Before we commit to do anything, let's find out why Hutchison worked, why Kansas City, Kansas didn't, Parsons and Atchison.
Mm-hmm.
Let's don't jump off half-cocked
and
go into this without taking a look at both sides, successes and failures.
Right.
So, yeah, we shall see. We are also out of time. Jackson's Greenhouse and Garden Center, 232-3416, 7 days a week for any of your garden, lawn questions. New location, breathtakingly new, beautiful new business. Jackson's White House Barn.
White Barn Nursery.
We'll get it straight. 61st and Fairlawn, open Fridays, Saturdays, and Sundays. The original Jackson's, of course, 1933 Lower Silver Lake Road. We will see you next Friday.
Right.
And, folks, again, I'll be on WIBW TV 13's news, Ralph Hip, at 4 o'clock today. So you don't want to miss it. Well, maybe you do want to miss it. Otherwise, we will see you Monday morning, folks. Have a great, great weekend. I'm Jim Keats.